This week, Nintendo sees the return of mainline Final Fantasy games soon to be available on the Switch, starting with a few with X in their name. There's plenty of news about ports, revivals, and growing pains in this week's news, and it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, everybody out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 759 for this January the 13th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me as always in studio, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello, I'm here in studio.
You are here in studio. How have things been for you this past week?
I played a few more games than I played last week.
Good, good. So we'll get into that in our gaming week in just a little bit. But we have some other exciting stuff to get to at the top of the show. Just checking in on the broccoli saga. Do the kids know yet where they're going?
No.
Still don't know.
Still don't know.
And when is the big trip? Is that
it's on Friday.
Oh, so it's the reason why you're not here for the next show.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is going to be interesting. All right. Well, I look forward to it. All right. Anyway, let's see. Let's get right into our kickoff topic tonight, right? Not here tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. You guys joining us, of course, at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. For more information, you can visit VOGNetwork.com, where there's lots of great indie shows to check out. And for those that are watching the video live tonight, you notice we started in that tiny little box. I don't know what the heck happened there. I think something when we took the Skype call changed the setting back on the camera because it's not as sharp as it was earlier. So this is where that whole like Skype thing is like getting in the way of the show. So yeah, we're learning a lot of stuff as we're going here. I don't know. No, I guess it is set on high. I don't know. I can't figure these things out. Technology is hard, Loki. It looked really good earlier. It was like nice and sharp, but now that we're like broadcasting, I don't know. I guess maybe as long as you guys like it, then we're good. That's all we're good. Of course, you can join us in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, and we do get some comments there. Pixel Paca's commenting on my Golden Girls t-shirt. Yes, we do own a few to go with the Golden Girls calendar behind Loki that he picked up for me. Bonds 006 says, hello there, got my girlfriend to watch, so tell a friend to tell a friend. Well, hello, girlfriend, and thanks for watching Orange Lounge Radio tonight. I appreciate that. So let's get into something I know folks have been waiting for, the big time capsule.
Yes.
And I know folks are going, time capsule? And this time you can see it on Twitch. Time capsule, how far back does this go? Like, is it from the 1970s, the 1980s? No, it's from 1 year ago. It's 1 year ago that we filled this up with our gaming predictions and sass and memories from 2018.
Well, technically, some of those are from 2 years ago because I just put the old ones back in there.
What? Well, you mixed them up when I wasn't looking?
Yes, great. I did.
This should be a good
time. Because nothing ever changes.
Yeah, all right. So, all right. Well, anyway, this time we'll empty it out when we're done tonight. But, you know, just on a personal note, like, you know, just think about, you know, and the joke is, too, is that when we talk about, like, 1 year back, like, how long of a memory span do a lot of gamers have?
Like a week.
Like, in general. Yeah, right? Like, you know, forgiving game companies for the mistakes they made, games that get delayed and so forth, you know. It's sometimes hard to go back and remember, like, where our heads were at a year ago, which is part of the reason why I think going back and listening to really old episodes of OLR is difficult. Because, like, if you listen to and, you know, we've been on the air over 15 years. You go back and listen to stuff from, like, I don't know, 2006 when the Wii was first coming out and the stuff we were saying about the Wii successor. It's just, like, ridiculous stuff. It's just funny how much things change. So yeah. A lot can change in a year. And we moved to Twitch in a year. That was a big change, right? So now we're doing a video thing as well as an audio thing, although, of course, the podcast is still the same. We're coming to you in video form as well. And big thanks to all of you guys out there, because with your support, we did hit affiliate status on Twitch. VOG Network did last week. And now you can actually subscribe to VOG Network using your Twitch Prime subs, or if you're feeling so generous with a regular sub, tier one, or what have you, as well. We can take Bitty donations. So I just want to thank you guys so much in advance. Since we are taping a podcast, I do just want to address, I know a lot of your favorite Twitch channels like to read the
the bits. I know I do when I'm broadcasting on my personal channel. I'll say, thank you so much for the biddies, VG Realness. I appreciate it. Or thanks, ActDeft, for that subscription 3 months in a row, you know, like as I'm playing. But since the goal here is to tape the podcast and keep our podcast moving, I'm not going to be interrupting every few minutes to address the very kind, generous things. But we will hope you will appreciate the little scroll along the bottom. So you'll get a little shout out at the bottom of the screen live on Twitch. And then at the very end, when our recording is done, I'll go back and give y'all special shout outs and thank yous. And just in general, like if the chatters can help me just thank folks as they see them, because I know it pops up in chat as well. Mm-hmm. I would like super appreciate that. So thank you. So that way we don't have to keep interrupting our podcast, because that'd be really weird for people listening in the car right now. And like, you know, they can't see the video and all that. So, all right, enough of that. Let's get into the time capsule. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's see what's in Darth Vader's head.
All right. I'm going to put... There's a million pieces of paper in here. Okay. First,
like I said.
First thing from some year. See, this is...
Oh, that's me.
Nintendo will stop 3DS or 2DS production.
Well, that didn't happen.
In fact, they're...
Our new 2DSs.
Doubling down. You bought your kids 2DSs this year. This Well, that ended up being wrong. All right. Let's see. Next. This looks like a Jamie. Games Jamie is looking forward to in 2018.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We put our game, or looking forward.
Oh, yeah, okay. Dragon Ball FighterZ. So okay. I know she's been talking about that a lot, yeah. So she did appreciate that. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Well, that didn't come out. Well, we got the Nintendo
concept type of thing, the kind of yeah. like prequel-y thing, the 8-bit version. That was pretty cool. And this is the funny part. Final Fantasy, you can't even, I don't know why I'm flipping it over. You can't read it. Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, that ain't going nuts.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming first. All right. Next up. I think this is me. Oh, it's me. Did I enjoy 2018? Overall, I think so. Actually, I will say, okay, so you guys have to remember, like, personally, my mindset at the end of 2017, I had a terrible year in 2017, personally. You guys all, you know, that have been listening a while know it was just like a big year of ups and downs, mostly downs. Except marrying my husband was a big up, since he just walked in the room next door. All right. but did I enjoy 2018? Overall, yes, I did. And then I put Metroid Prime 4, Mother 3, Secret of Mana Remaster. That was okay, but I think because they kind of like built it from the ground up, it ended up having some bugs, and it kind of didn't end up hitting as well as I think a lot of people were hoping. So that one ended up being okay, I guess. So, all right, let's see. I'm trying to look in chat. S2100 Matt agrees. 2018 was okay, a lot better than 2017 for sure. Oh, this one's a big one. Okay, who wrote on two sides? Oh, because that one's 2017. No, because you wrote 2017 here. This is the 2018 side. Top games. 2017, Skyrim. South Park, my game. 2018, Burnout Paradise Remake, Red Dead Redemption 2, Borderlands 3.
Well, it didn't get Borderlands 3. I would have looked forward to it, though.
Okay, and you also wrote on here, Ready Player One didn't suck.
And it didn't.
It was pretty good. I watched that in Theater to Black Wolf, and it was a decent movie. All right, let's see. We got another big one here. This is fun. Time capsuling. Okay. Oh, this was the chat room. Oh, we're reading you guys. You ready? I wonder how many of you are here tonight. Here we go. Chat predictions. VidPower in chat says U.S. will never get Mother 3. Hold out hope. Hold out hope. It's got. Let us have this one thing. If they can keep putting Lucas in Smash Brothers, maybe there's a way. Maybe there's a way. All right. Chat predictions. Dungeon Buster. EA announces Anthem mix details. And are not as bad as people think. Well, that one's kind of a mixed bag because of all the fuckery they did with Mass Effect. Some of us have a sour taste in our mouth.
Well, they did announce the details.
They did announce details, and then they delayed it. So there was that. JD and ActDeft said, Pokemon main series game on Switch. I mean, you got the Let's Go, right? I mean, we know the real main game that a lot of people are looking forward to, obviously, is next year. But we know the Let's Go didn't turn out so bad, right? I don't know. All right. Anyway, let's see. Tiger Claw, VR games will be playable by non-VR users. Well, in some cases that works, But I would say, like, the VR game that every – what would you say would be, like, the big VR games everybody's talking about from this year? Tetris Effect. So
yeah.
That's true. What Tiger Claw said would be true when it comes to Tetris Effect. But not Beat Saber.
No.
And Beat Saber is kind of a must-have. So I think there's still a lot of what does the developer want to do with that going on, right? Anyway, we're reading your predictions, ours and yours, from the time capsule that we did a year ago. Fifth Dream says PlayStation 5 announced. Womp womp. Nah. Got that one wrong. Sorry, buddy. Kaijudo, Rocket League crossplay on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Ding, ding, ding. Kaijudo got that one. And that's kind of ended up being a big fucking deal, too, when it came to crossplay. And who could have predicted, you know, Sony's kind of stubbornness in that whole thing going on there. So score one for Kaijudo. I don't always agree with what the man says, but he called that one and called that out specifically. And kind of that ended up being a big headline earlier in the year with the whole crossplay thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so far, Kaijudo's scoring better than any of us. All right. Let's see. Let's look at another one here. I'm pulling these out. All right. Next one. Jamie's secret wish. Drumpf impeached. Well, I didn't. Sorry, but sorry, lady. And I get my own YouTube channel. Well,
you she, could do you that. Could,
in- she's do, she streamed on Twitch a few times.
Yeah.
But sadly, I don't think she could have predicted that her day job. But I mean, she had a lot of good news at her day job, which is why she's not able to be here on Sunday nights with us in the studio. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody could have predicted that. All right. Let's see. Next one. We've got a lot of ones that are, like, tied up in others. Well, this is you, Loki. The AAA gaming industry will continue to fuck up games using even more predatory loot box tactics.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, how would you say that was a win?
I didn't say it was a win. I just said it was accurate.
Yeah, but like, what have they done? I would say
what have they done?
The loot box thing's been scaled back a little bit. But what do you?
What have they done? There's laws against some of the loot boxes because it's basically gambling, and they've decided, hey, guess what? Instead of following the laws, we're just going to not follow the laws and do it anyways. Or the whole fact that loot boxes ruined a ton of games that came out. Well, actually, not so much in. I mean, there's still some. Still quite a bit. So, like, for example, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, they reintroduced loot box. They're starting to get smart about this. So, the game got reviewed, and then they put in the loot boxes.
So that's more predatory in a way. So get skirting around reviews by putting in the loot boxes after the fact. Because I don't think that's the only game where that's happened.
No, it's not the only game that's happened. Modern Warfare Remastered, also Activision, did that. You have games like Fallout 76 where it's just the game is just in a shitty condition, and then they're still trying to throw in the loot boxes on top of that. So, yes, it's still true.
All right. Let's go to the next one. I'm seeing if chat is agreeing with you or not. ActDeft in chat says, laws against loot boxes because gambling. Yeah. We haven't seen anything really, really move on the laws front, but is anyone surprised when it comes to law and how slow all that moves? I don't know about that. Another Loki one here. New second-gen VR headsets. This is kind of a safe one.
We got the Oculus, like the redone Oculus thing, and they showed some more stuff off it because this week was also
Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah, CES. They did have some stuff that they were showing there, but it wasn't like, "Woo, this is amazing" or anything like that.
So this is a really safe pick from Loki, but all right. Let's see, I'm looking at chat. Questbuster points out EA moved ahead and disclosed the odds for their team packs in FIFA, so there was that. So some companies are coming around on it. Let's see. And Bobby Blackwolf says they removed them from FH4 before it came out and are going to be removing them from FM7. So and Bobby Blackwolf also points out the Vive Pro came out in 2018. But no new PSVR headset, which I would have thought maybe.
Yeah.
They
just have the breakout box now passes through HDR. But
No Final Fantasy VII and no Kingdom Hearts 3 from Loki. Well, technically, Loki, in 2018...
That is accurate.
It is accurate. So we'll score one for Loki, but he obviously would be a fool to make that prediction again. All right.
Well, right. If it's coming on a couple weeks,
you can make the first half, though. Okay, this is me.
Did Rob finally rage quit Ingress? No, he didn't. I've scaled back quite a bit, though. And Ingress Prime finally came out, which obviously big mobile game from Niantic, the makers of Pokemon Go. All the Pokestops and gyms come from a game called Ingress that is still going, and they relaunched with Ingress Prime. I think there's actually probably more to talk about in Ingress. But do I play as much as I used to? Not really.
No.
No. In fact, the Blues threw a big field over us this evening, and if I was playing more often, I probably would have stopped it, because I was even thinking of going to the park today that they threw right through. Anyway, oh, another one for me. Did Anthem flop? Hashtag justice for Mass Effect. Well, when we did these, we must not have known about the delay. So, TBD, Rob Roberts. Next one. From Loki. Xbox One X and PS4 Plus didn't sell well. I don't know if you got this one. I would say
I don't know. We don't really know what the numbers are because they don't really break it down that
they,
way.
They don't, but I think, you know, there could be something to say that, like, the classic systems outsold them in some months, and the Nintendo Switch has continued to overperform. But does that mean these guys underperformed? I don't think so. I think it was more like par. I don't remember, like, seeing a headline about Sony sales disappoint or anything like that. I think we're par.
Right.
I think it's they did a pat on the back job well done, and that's about, you know, where we're at with that, right? All right. Let's see. So ActDev says, I don't think Loki got this one. Kaijudo says it's not better, but it's not the same. All right, moving on.
Well, they did sell a little bit better because I did buy a PlayStation 4 Pro, so, you know.
We filled this. Oh, there's that, too. We filled this thing up last year. All right, predictions from Dark Sakura. She put all hers on one. Number one, more third-party Switch support, in parentheses, SNK. I mean, that kick-ass SNK collection came out, so yeah. Ding, ding, ding on that. Konami ain't doing much of anything right now, but, I mean,
well,
I think in the general sense of third-party support on Switch, I think it's been very strong, honestly. I think we're starting to see, you know, even companies that weren't supporting the Switch historically are kind of coming around a little bit, so I'd give her that one. Number two, Konami learns from Capcom and listens to fans.
No.
Nope.
Well, I mean, I guess they're listening in the sense that they're still making games, but the games aren't very good that they're making. I mean, it's Metal Gear Survive. Yeah, that's listening to fans. No.
Number three, I will continue to be very disappointed by the gaming industry as a whole. Well, I can't ask her about that because she's not here. And I didn't
really... Yeah, she's disappointed by a lot of things, so I'm going to give
it... We'll say yes. We'll say yes. I don't know. She really enjoyed Awesome Games Done Quick, though. Her and I
were
talking about that.
Yeah, it's hard to be disappointed.
But that's not really the industry. That's the fans.
Yeah.
So, this one's for me. Will Microsoft, jealous of Nintendo sales this holiday, jack the Switch concept... But for PC, NVIDIA Shield already halfway there. Oh, I know where I was going with this, but I was totally fucking wrong. But I mean, stay tuned for 2019.
Well, that's what the Surface is for, I guess.
Yeah, interesting. So that could still be a thing, but not in 2018. So this is that. Let's see. Moving on. Let's see. Going in chat. VidPower has an interesting counterpoint to the Konami thing. Does Castlevania characters being in Smash count as Konami stuff in 2018? Sort of. I mean, I'll give you that. The best of 2018 from me. Number one, Super Mario Odyssey. Number two, Breath of the Wild. Number three, Final Fantasy 14 Stormblood. Why did we put our 2018 basket? Yes, that's correct. Those were my three favorite.
I think
games
it's just so we can reflect on.
Oh, to reflect on these games. Mario is still going. Obviously, they had the Mario Wii U game just came out again. I bought it, but I haven't played it yet this week. I was hoping to do a stream of it, but I'll probably get to that later. I have to admit, I've kind of cooled down on Breath of the Wild. I haven't really played it as much, but I do think Nintendo will kind of take that engine and do another Zelda game. Kind of think akin to, like, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask were, like, the same kind of engine on Nintendo 64. Obviously, they were different Zelda games. But that's what I mean. Like, I don't expect, like, a copy of Breath of the Wild. I expect kind of, like, something in that same engine, that same sort of open-world design. I think we'll see another one
just
of those.
Just without the destructible weapons, because, or weapon durability, because that was shit.
Yeah.
And then Final Fantasy XIV Stormblood. I'm still playing. I went to Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest. I don't think I could have predicted that I would have been playing a lot of WoW at this time. That, like, Final Fantasy XIV is kind of in a lull for me since they're in that pre-expansion kind of blues part. Literally, because there's a Blue Mage coming next week. I've been playing a lot of WoW, which is kind of weird. But fun. This might be the last one. Yep, this is the last one. Another one from Jamie. Top three games last year. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Didn't they finally shut that down? Or they're going to shut that down?
I don't know.
Was that a thing, chat? Correct me if I'm wrong. No, I don't think they're shutting it down. I think the player base is really tanked on that. And I think even she's cooled on that a lot. I think ever since they announced Animal Crossing 2019, you know, Animal Crossing Switch, that's like where her energy is going at this point. ActDef does say Pocket Camp is still going strong, so I stand corrected. But I mean, Nintendo does cancel mobile phone games once in a while, right? Am I right? All right. Miitomo shut down. Yeah, I remember that one. And then number two, she put Danganronpa V3 because she's a big fan of the Danganronpa series, and I'm sure she would have continued to support that one. I'd be curious to hear her thoughts on what she wrote as number three from last year, Mass Effect Andromeda, after kind of all that shaped out, and they didn't really continue to expand on that and so forth. So we'll have to ask her at a later time. But there it is. We got everything in the time capsule. How did we do, Loki?
I think we did good.
I think all the save predictions went really well. Again, Kaijudo kind of probably got the best prediction, I think, that ended up coming true in there, I got to say. So props to you guys. So there we go. Wait, since we're on video now. Oh, shit, I'm going to have to pick all that up later. Oh, well. All right. Anyhow. All right.
I didn't put my, like, top games in anything.
No, I didn't do that either. Were we supposed to do that?
Nah.
Should we do, like, games we're looking forward to? Because I think I had one of those in there. Because I had Metroid Prime 4.
I guess I could do that.
All right, want to do games we're looking forward to? All right. Well, in the meantime, let's do our predictions for 2019 and fill this up here. I guess Kaijudo just turned in because Kaijudo's like, or just tuned in because Kaijudo says, what was it? What did I say? You called the crossplay thing with Rocket League. And the fact that it would be PS4, PC, and Xbox One. And the reason why I kind of give you bonus points for that is because that ended up being like a headline last year. And I don't think we would have known that at the beginning of the year. So kudos. All right. Bobby Blackwell says, don't worry. Loki will pick it all up and put them all back in the capsule.
You got it.
All right. First prediction I'm going to put in for next year. Did Sony do a PSX event in the fall because of no E3? I find Sony's lack of participation in E3 this year very interesting.
I forgot that they were doing that, too.
Yeah, they...
Two of them being an E3. Well, apparently that's going to not happen.
You can quickly change your answer, Loki. So I would say the fact that they didn't do a PSX either, maybe they're looking at doing some type of like joint thing in the fall that's going to be their big PlayStation 5 announcement. Because I know we've lived in a world historically where consoles come out right before the holidays, but I think Nintendo Switch showed the calendar is flexible. And if Sony wanted to do an event in the fall to hype a March or April PlayStation 5 release, that could be a legit thing. I don't think we'll have a PlayStation 5 for holiday next year, but that's not to say we won't have a PlayStation 5 in 2020. So that's my thought. That's where I was going with that. So, all right. Well, while I tear this up and put it in the capsule, Loki, why don't you do the first of your predictions?
You're not going to like this, but EA will close BioWare after Anthem underperforms due to EA's shittiness, i.e. loot boxes and other forced changes to the game. Because you know they do that. They fuck everything over and then they blame the developer. And EA has a track record of shutting good companies down.
I don't know if that'll happen in the course of a year, but it's possible. I'm not as mad at you about that answer. I'm going to be curious to see what happens. My next one. Next Xbox announced, but no PlayStation 5, Game Pass console to hold us over. Which is funny because I think I kind of conflicted myself with my first prediction. But leave me alone. If I write yes PS5 on one and no PS5 on the other, I'll get at least half of them right. But where I was really going with this is really more of a Microsoft prediction is the Game Pass console. I don't think they're going to announce. I think they might like tease the next Xbox, but I don't think it's going to be released. I think I was thinking more E3 in my head with this one. And I think there will be like a little console that is dedicated to the like streaming games and that whole thing to kind of hold us over. That's my thought with that. So
And then I picked the oh-so-safe Nintendo 64 Classic release holiday 2019. Because, you know, they could pretty much just run it on the same hardware they have now.
But do you think I was at Fry's earlier this week, and I saw shelves upon shelves upon shelves of the PlayStation Classic marked down to $60. Do you think that may give Nintendo cold feet? I know that's a weird question, because Nintendo's done very well, but do you think Nintendo's going to evaluate, is the market done with these retro consoles?
No, maybe they're not done with retro consoles. They're done with shit that, you know, they half-ass and put out into the marketplace, you know, on emulators that are open source that aren't optimized to run the games that they're running. I mean, and they knew the quality of what it was when they put it out there. They just said, ah, fuck it, who cares? You know, we're just going to make a quick buck. You know, people will buy that because people are buying all these things. Well, people didn't buy it because they won't just buy anything.
Let's see. SSJ 100 Matt wants to know, will Jamie add her predictions next week? Yes. We'll reopen the capsule so she can do that next week. Next one for me. Did they finally get online right with Animal Crossing since they plan to charge for it? So online in Animal Crossing's always been kind of weird. You have to kind of go, all right, I'm going to go open my gate, trot, 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 open your gate, wait for somebody to show up. And there's a lot of like kind of like planning that has to go into a visit. Whereas I think there's a lot of us, I don't know, I would like to see it this way. Maybe you guys would too. A little more persistent world where I can leave my town open all the time and you can come visit and shake the trees and stuff. So I would like to know, is online going to be like a more fleshed out full thing since we are paying for Nintendo Online after all? And I think we probably all know how that's going to go. But we'll see. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
All right. I had that there will be a new AR gaming console by somebody, not necessarily Microsoft or Sony.
Tell me a little more about that.
So, like, you know, let's just take the whole Oculus Go thing and just take it one step further where it's all AR stuff. So you're playing out there in the wild because, hey, Pokemon Go is going to be still popular. And, of course, when Harry Potter Go comes out, everyone's going to be back into that shit again. And people are going to jump on that bandwagon and release a dedicated console of the stuff like that.
All right, I got one more. I put a fourth one. You ready? The Sonic movie was a bad idea, right?
Yes. Oh wait, well
so
then,
that'll be the last
then,
one we put in.
No,
there.
No. Then I got one. Then if that's what's gonna.
All right. So one more from Loki, and then we'll add the game list after the break, so we have a little time to work on that. So I'm gonna move on with the show. About 30 minutes in tonight. So what's the last one, Loki?
The last one to go along with that is the Detective Pikachu movie did not suck.
Okay, fair enough. I'm looking forward to that. I'm hopeful based on the trailer. So we'll see what happens with that. Oh, we do need to do some chat predictions. I agree. Let's get some chat predictions, you guys. I'll try to write these down quickly. So let's do some. So if you have predictions, shout them out on our Twitch channel over at VOG Network. Can you read some of those, Loki, so I can write them down quick?
Yes. Okay. So chat predictions. Let's see. We have She-Hulk 10 saying new portable Xbox coming in 2019. Let's see.
I thought I saw something from Tiger Claw. I don't know if it was.
Let me scroll
up. Oh, here. He referenced the movies as well. He said Detective Pikachu and Sonic will be well received and do well at the box office and the studio green light sequels. Well, we already kind of addressed the movies in there, so we'll let that be.
Yeah.
Ooh, Act Deft is saying a Pokemon 8th gen delay. I think that's a ballsy prediction because I don't think that'll happen, but I'll write it down.
Bobby's Microsoft never makes another game that supports Dolby Atmos audio. I don't think we'll see anything about the Madbox console next year. It's way too early, and sadly, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. New console launches are just, especially by companies that don't have. Now, the one, though, that I am interested in is the whole Intellivision console, which isn't that coming out? Is that
2020, because they already said the date for that was like something 10-10-2020 or something like that was the date for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2020 for that, but maybe we'll get some more details on it. But at least I trust that a little bit more than other you know, the Madbox thing, because Mad just coming out of the gate with like no sort of specs or anything, saying, "Oh, our console's gonna be the best in the world." Yeah, I just have a hard time trusting that. Maybe we'll see Ouya 2. Ouya 2 will come out. It's going to be amazing.
Sorry for a little quiet here because I'm trying to write some of these things down as you guys are saying them. Sia Tabiri said a new Mario spinoff. So that seems, that's a pretty safe prediction, but I'll go with it.
PodCulture saying he wants a Dreamcast classic.
Ooh, I like that one.
I would like that too. I just don't think it's going to happen. Well, I mean, I hope it would happen, but I don't think it's going to happen. Can we get like some more arcade stuff too? Like I would take an Autonomous Wave Classic or CPS 2. Well, I guess we have a ton of the CPS 2 stuff with all the arcade things that they have out there.
I'm gonna write that one down from Fifth Dream. You guys have a lot of great answers here, but I'm running out of space, so I'm gonna write this last one here from Fifth Dream. Final Fantasy VII Remake canceled. I think there is a sliver of potentialness in that. Yeah, I know that's a really weird thing
to say. In
the sense
that it's canceled because it's going to be Final Fantasy XVI, or is it...
It's just costing them too much money.
There's no amount of money that's too much for Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I personally don't think it'll happen, but I don't think it's completely fucking impossible.
I guess.
Okay, sorry for the
Sonic
quiet.
The Hedgehog, the movie, the game, is going to be the best-selling game of 2019.
All right, we're adding in the chat predictions. Sorry to those that we did not get and add in there because you guys had a lot of great predictions. But hey, if you want to be like Dark Sakura and make it your goal to start your own YouTube channel next year, one thing that you could do, make a video, create some content with your own predictions, and then go back and laugh at yourself in a year just like we did tonight. I think that would be a fun thing to do, especially for those of you guys that already do like Twitch streams and stuff like that. VG Realness, you hear me? All you out there, Code Man, you out there? Yeah, you guys, Bobby? You guys can do some stuff with your predictions.
And then when you do it, some random company can come and copyright claim you because the system is so jacked up that anybody can do that, apparently. That's the business I need to get into, is copyright claiming people for things. Make lots of money that way.
We got a story on that a little later, so we'll talk a little more about that. But for now, let's get into, as we like to do, towards the top of every show, talk about our gaming weeks and talk a little bit about how is your gaming week. So, Loki, you mentioned you got around to playing some games this week. How
I
was
did.
Your
I played more Dance Dance Revolution Extreme because I reloaded that back on there. In fact, funny enough, along with that, even though I am going to be converting the cabinet over to the Stepmania at some point, I have memory card slots coming. So I'm going to be putting those on the machine. You know what that means? I'm breaking out the edits again. So I'll be doing that. And then I did play Tetris Effect a little bit this week. Unlock some of the stuff in the journey mode there.
I always forget that they have the Saturday events. I need to like set a reminder on my phone because I haven't participated in one in like a month because I just forget that the Saturday. I wonder if they've even been meeting them. I don't know, have any of you guys out there been playing Tetris Effect regularly and seeing if they like have been meeting their weekly events? Because I'd be really curious about that.
What else? Then I also played, I did Pokemon Go a little bit. And then I did play some other PC games. I'm trying to think, what was it? I don't remember, but it was that impactful. I did play Mario Kart 8 and part of our stream here to get affiliate status. I unfortunately found out why I was sucking so bad throughout the race. So because my kids play on our console, my Switch, they had the stupid auto accelerate and auto steer on. So what that means is my boosts were, I was wondering why I wasn't falling off the track, but at the same time, it also was like dragging an anchor behind you when you try to actually race in the game. And so I could never catch up because the stupid auto brake and auto accelerate was on. Because I was trying to take shortcuts in my car.
You have to look for those little icons. Because that happened when I was at like a gathering. There was like four of us playing Mario Kart. And the same thing was happening is that we're like, why? Our one friend is like not controlling it the way they think. And it's because we saw the little icon. Oh, the assists were on. We didn't. And yeah. I think a lot of those turn on by default. So you have to really remember to take those off.
So I had to, after I got done, I was like, oh, okay, I took them off and everything was fine. But it was just annoying because I was like, why can't I catch up to anybody? I'm like, is it the character? Because I don't really play Mario Kart 8 at all. But I'm like, I know I'm better than this. You know, it's just, it's like I can't catch up no matter how many boosts I'm using. And then finally I was like, oh, that's why. Because my kids play it and then, you know, they don't want to fall off the track. And then I played a little bit of LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2 yesterday just to play through some of the DLC. The game's kind of messed up on my PlayStation 4 now. All the DLC doesn't appear, only the latest one. I was trying to, like, 100% it, and then I just got frustrated because the driving physics in the game are just absolute crap, and yet they force you to do races that involve the driving physics. So I did this race, like, 4 or 5 times, which is just a really simple just drive checkpoint to checkpoint. But the cars handle so terribly. It just was frustrating. I just said, fuck it. I am not playing this anymore. I don't know. But, like, I've had an opportunity to play the PlayStation 4, like, all week. But every time I go to sit down to play it, I'm like, I don't know what I want to play. Like, I just don't want to get into Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, I don't know if I'm just going to be tired of that game. I think that game is too much sim for me. Like, I like Grand Theft Auto 5, where you can do the missions and everything, and you can just kind of fuck around and do whatever. But this is more like you have to get food, you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to groom yourself and groom your horse. And that's too much fucking work. I don't want to do that. I just want to be able to, like, fuck around in the game. So that's kind of what's pulling me away from that. I almost went back to Skyrim again. I was almost going to do that. Now, actually, I'm thinking about streaming Skyrim again.
Oh, you should. That would be fun.
It would be fun. It's just... it's the talking and, like, waking everybody up or disturbing everybody, that type of stuff. So, like, I thought about doing, like, a series just, like, totally ordinary version of blah, 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 and just have it, like, fucking modded to the point where you can't recognize it anymore.
And just... Then it's an ironic name.
Exactly. Okay. So it would be something like that. Make it do Saints Row or something like that, too. So,
okay. That it for your gaming week?
That's it for my gaming week.
My gaming week. So I... played a little Pokemon Go. I know y'all are sick of hearing me talk about mobile games, right? But the big Pokemon Go Community Day was this weekend. So
yes.
I actually went down and I played at the state capitol. And now that we have this whole Twitch thing, I can actually show a little bit of what that looks like. Because, you know, Pokemon Go is a dead game, right? Even though there's, like, people dressing up and stuff as they're playing Pokemon Go out at the capitol. And the feature Pokemon Go was Totodile. This time, so I got one shiny. I took it really easy. I got 6 shinies, but I was really kind of like half-assing my adventures out of the Capitol this time. I used my Bluetooth device to do a lot of the catching down at the Capitol, and you know, that caught plenty of the Pokemon that way. I was, you know, catching a little bit. What I found is that as I was doing, like, walking, like, lots and lots of walking, is that the various Pokemon were hatching. The eggs were, like, continuously hatching over and over again.
Yeah,
and it kind of, like, kept interrupting me. So there came a point where I was like, all right, I'm going to just Bluetooth catch things, walk a lap around the park to hatch all of my eggs, because the hatch time was cut, like, way down.
It was 4x, yeah.
So I can, like, reset everything and then load them all up at the same time so that the hatching doesn't get in the way. But then, of course, you're, like, right in the midst of things, and it's like I'm trying to roll with a group of people, and then all of a sudden, oh, I got 9 eggs hatching all at once with the animation. And so that got to be a little bit annoying. But I was cool with the 6 shinies because, honestly, like, there's so many shinies now. And if Shane is still in chat, he's going to totally disagree with me. I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, all right, once I have, like, the set to have one, I'm kind of over it. Like, I'm done. I'm ready to go. But I was happy out of the 6 I caught, 2 of them were the highest appraisal. So I actually, which is funny, so I got, like, a Feral Gator. I evolved it up to get the Hyrule Cannon, and I actually, like, used it in a raid today, and it was a shiny. So it's kind of neat. That part was neat. But get this, and I'm sure if he is in chat, he's going to say, Shane caught, get this, 25 shinies. He caught 25 shinies. You know what his trick is? He does, well, first off, he doesn't go for the social stuff. You saw in the video there on Twitch. You saw it. Look, let me roll it one more time because I got the same B-roll. You see, look, everybody's hanging out with their friends. They're talking. They're casually walking, doing their thing, dressing up, having a good time, right? That's what they're doing. That's not what Shane does. When he's like, pew, man on a mission, right? He does the fast catching as he's going and you know, checking the shinies. He's doing the fast catching over and over. And then if he sees it's a shiny, he might spend a little more time to catch it. But he's walking fast, going everywhere, and he's in the zone. And that's how he did. He got 24 Totodiles and 1 Bulbasaur because the event was at Capitol. Where we went to Capitol Park, which happened to be a Bulbasaur nest during the event. So, he got 25 shinies. And I was like, What are you going to do with that many shinies? Well, they're shiny. The typical response, right? All right.
Oh, and Shane is in chat under Shad Leland saying, no, I don't do the social stuff. This is a mission every community day. By the way, while he's here and while I know he's in chat, can all you chatters give a big congratulations to Shane in chat? Because he got married at the beginning of the month. So I think that's worthy of a congratulations. So congratulations to Shane and husband on the marriage. So everybody, yay, in chat for me, please. Now they're asking about Phoebus Day in chat. So did you know that this is a thing coming up? So next week, they're going to do Phoebus Day. It's not a community day, but it's like a quest period where all the quests will reward Phoebus, and some of them will be shiny. It's kind of a new thing.
But I don't like Phoebus. It's a stupid fish.
Yeah.
It's lame.
I don't like it either, but the shiny ones are cute. So
I don't want it.
All right, other games that I play, because I don't just play mobile phone games all the time, believe it or not, even though I started another mobile one called Turf Wars. It's stupid. It reminds me. Do you remember when we used to play like the sorority? Well, you never played this with the sorority. I think Nelly.
No.
The sorority wars on Facebook, which is like you're building your mob of friends and attacking. It's so ridiculous. But it does incorporate real life stuff into it. So I was intrigued.
All this makes me think about is the bad lip reading song Gang Fight.
Yes.
It's just.
All right. Anyway, let's see. So other stuff I played. I played Soul Calibur 6 finally.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I had bought that on sale. I did a little stream of Soul Calibur 6. I was really pleased with how robust the features are in Soul Calibur 6 because you have like a story mode that you go through with your own created character. Each individual person has their own story that you can go through, and everything's like on a timeline. You can do the arcade mode. You can do online. So I was very pleased with how much there is kind of to do for a fighting game in Soul Calibur 6. I was playing on PC, so it runs pretty well. It's a pretty smooth fighting game. You have these very over-the-top extra sort of moves that I come to love from Soul Calibur, and the narrations didn't disappoint because that's my favorite part of a Soul Calibur game is two souls intertwined enter the battle arena where one will emerge victorious. Who shall be victorious on this day of judgment when the sword comes to life, right? It's just the narration is so crazy and over the top. That's my favorite part. So the narration, Soul Calibur 6 didn't disappoint. So I give a thumbs up to Soul Calibur 6. It's still a pricey game, so you got to really love your fighting games, your Soul Calibur, but I'm into it. So I was liking it. And I play some of the Mario Kart 8 online as well and continuing to play Switch stuff online, a little Smash Brothers, just a little bit, and PC stuff, World of Warcraft still. Final Fantasy 14 did get a big patch this past week, so I played the Part 1 story of 4.5 that they released, which was really good. I really enjoyed the story, and there's a new dungeon to go with it, and I thought they did a good job with that as well. And I'm interested to see what Blue Mage ends up being next week because they did some really controversial things with the job, right? Where it's a limited job and you can't really use it in normal end game content. And in fact, they cap the level lower than what the level cap really is in the game so that people like can't overpower or whatever end game rates. So I'm curious to see if I like it or if it just ends up being a really fleshed out mini game. Which, one other thing on Final Fantasy 14, speaking of like fleshed out mini games, something people aren't really talking about because it's not really as prevalent in American culture. But like Final Fantasy 14 added like full on Mahjong in the Gold Saucer. And it's like it's not like half-assed. Like it's a full play Mahjong with other players or robots and like you get Gold Saucer point rewards for it. And it's the full rules of the game and everything. And I was like, dang, this kind of impressive. So there's some people that happen to know how to play Mahjong that are like, this is what they're doing in the patch now. Is it's like I'm paying $12.95 a month or however much Final Fantasy 14 costs to play Mahjong online all day.
No more Tetramaster.
No, that was a Final Fantasy 11 thing. Or no, that was never in Final Fantasy 11. That was like a separate thing.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess they figured why have it a separate thing when you can just build it into the main game, get everybody to pay the subscription for the main game to play the feature over here. But I will say Final Fantasy 14 doesn't disappoint. I mean, over the years, when it comes to like the side stuff, because they have the Chocobo Racing is all in there as well. There's the mini games, and I'm missing another big one that there is in the Gold Saucer. I feel like another big event. Well, the costume thing, but that's a little silly. But I'm pretty impressed with like how much side stuff they've done. And I'm sure that will only continue in the next expansion. We'll see. So, all right. So, SSJ100 Matt over in our VOG Network chat at twitch.tv/VOG Network says, old ladies are playing Mahjong all day. Yeah, it's very, you know, very prevalent, especially in like Asian countries and culture. I know that's, you know, a very, like, kind of like poker might be a thing in the States. You know, Mahjong is something that people really get into in other places. And considering that Final Fantasy XIV is very big in Japan, they don't have World of Warcraft in Japan, remember? So, yeah, it's, you know, makes sense that, you know, they're doing some, you know, things that are, you know, culturally appropriate for places that aren't just the U.S., Canada, and so forth. So, kind of neat. Mm-hmm. So, and it teaches, you know, if you don't know how to play, I don't know how to play Mahjong, but the game has a tutorial in it. Oh, I remember the other thing they had in there, the Lords of Verminion. Which was like the Lords of Vermilion, but they did it with the minions. I forgot. That was the other thing. I was like, I knew there's something else in Gold Saucer they spent, but like nobody plays it, Loki, and it's sad because it's like a full fleshed out pet battle thing that's more intricate than what World of Warcraft has, but you know, it is what it is. All right. Anyway, let's move on. That's really it for my gaming week. As far as housekeeping goes, next week, Dark Sakura will be here, although Loki won't, but we hope you'll tune
in.
Yeah,
I'll be at the Broccoli Farm.
That's right. Well, that's going to be a fun trip, though. So
it will be a fun trip.
You should, you know, while you're there, you know, since we have this whole Twitch thing now, you should shoot some video at the arcades if you see, like, some Wreck-It Ralph or something we ought to see. Any Tron references, I want video.
Okay.
I doubt there will be anything, but just in case. You never know.
I will look for Tron stuff.
Sounds good.
I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to, but I did scout out before... Before we go, I scouted out where the nearest round one is, so I want to go to round one. It's only like, I think like...
Irvine ought to have one, right?
No, Anaheim has one.
Oh, cool.
And so they have one. It looks about like 5-10 minutes away from where we're staying, so I may go there depending on the time we have and if I can get away just for like an hour or two.
All right.
May try to do that.
All right. Sounds like fun. All right, well, let's get into some gaming news. We got a lot of news to cover this week. The holidays are done, and things are ramping up again in the gaming world, right?
Yes, 2019's it's starting off pretty interesting. So we have the announcement that Bungie is going to be splitting up with Activision. So basically, they are ending their partnership with Activision. And with that, they're actually going to be... continuing to, I guess, work on Destiny. Destiny will be retained by Bungie as their property, so it's not going to be something that, you know, we're going to have to look forward to Destiny games from Activision without Bungie. So basically, you know, they said, you know, we've enjoyed a successful 8-year run and would like to thank Activision for their partnership on Destiny. Looking ahead, we're excited to announce plans for Activision to transfer publishing rights for Destiny to Bungie. And with our remarkable Destiny community, we are ready to publish on our own, while Activision will increase their focus on owned IP projects. So, more Call of Duty.
And to clear up, like, the number one, like, misconception, I think, that's out there, Activision never owned Bungie. Because there's a lot of people, like, the gut reaction I'm seeing, maybe it's just the people I follow on Twitter because of my history with the shows I've co-hosted previously, Horde House being one of them. So, obviously, I talk to a lot of Blizzard people, right? And so, like, the number one thing I'm seeing is, oh, Blizzard ought to do the same thing. But it's different. Activision owns Blizzard, right? Technically, that company is Activision Blizzard, right?
Yeah.
So Activision owns Blizzard. Activision never owned Bungie. They never owned Bungie. This was like a publishing agreement. This was an agreement between the two companies, a very intricate agreement, but there was never really the ownership. And as being pointed out in our chat room, Tiger Claw points out, this is the second time Bungie splits from a publisher. They used to be with Microsoft previously, of course, right? Because Bungie made the Halo games in the past.
And so they also have...
So it was a big deal. When they split, and they were owned by Microsoft, if I remember right, it was a studio. So that was when they first partnered with Activision, that was a big deal because it was, oh shit, Destiny's going to be on PlayStation as well as, you know, the Microsoft console. And Sony sure as shit milked that for a while too because they had some exclusives on the original Destiny, at least. And I think with the second one too, you know, kind of coming out the gate. So,
yeah,
kind of a different, you know, different situation, but still a very big news.
Well, plus they also have a new game in development as well that they're working on with NetEase. So there's that whenever we see that announcement.
Which is ironic because NetEase is also the people behind Diablo Immortal, which if you do want to compare things to Blizzard, that whole controversy and how they announced that. Again, my personal feeling is that Diablo Immortal and going that direction was never a bad idea. But this just goes to show, this is, they should teach this video game public relations 101. This is a lesson to be learned. College thesis should be written on this. Is all in the messaging. It is all in the, and though the messaging 20, for that became,
2018
was
will be a good year for that as well, because if you look at it, you've got that, you've got the whole Fallout 76 thing, which is still ongoing. Just all of the messaging around that and PR responses, it's just not great. So looking forward to what's going to be coming. I'm curious to see, because, you know, Destiny, I feel like a lot of the monetization in that kind of like hurt the game, especially a lot of it where they were focusing on the monetization instead of fixing bug problems. And I'm wondering how much of that is Activision and how much of it was Bungie. So now that they're away from Activision, we're going to see how much of that was Activision and how much of it is Bungie.
I think there were good things, though, too. I mean, believe it or not, I'm going to say some good things. I think the inclusion of Destiny 2 in the Battle.net launcher was huge.
Is that
Destiny.
Still going to be a thing now? With
they're not saying. I don't know. I don't know how that works in the publishing agreements and all that. I think if it does exit the launcher, it will be very quietly done. You can count on that. And I don't think anything will happen in the immediate future. Because doesn't Activision still stand to make money off Destiny 2 if it
Probably.
Sells? So, I mean, if Activision's still making money off the sales of Destiny 2, which is funny because they gave it away at one point, but the expansions and all that still coming into play, like, I don't think Activision's just going to scrape it off the launcher. I think it'll still be there for a good long time.
Maybe they're talking more like Destiny 3 or a new Destiny game or something. That
Destiny 2 Switch, when? Because you know that's the tweet all over town, right? Going to chat, Kaijudo in chat says, never liked the name Activision. Keep on, Activision's a really old gaming company. And Tiger Claw kind of just shed some light on this. Activision was originally created so that the game developers get credit for the games they created on the Atari 2600. Absolutely. David Crane's Pitfall, right? Remember? That was, a lot of developers went over to Activision because Activision, believe it or not, like at that time was like the good guys. You know, that's where you went to get the full credit for the games. And, you know, the Activision made some very strong titles on the Atari 2600 and other, you know, platforms around that time. But, like, some of the biggest Atari 2600 games, things like Kaboom, things like the Dragster, drag racing game, Freeway, Pitfall, those were all Activision titles.
Yeah.
So, and that's why... you know, those flashback consoles, the newer ones like this, maybe 7, but I know 8 and 9 for sure, they include Activision titles, and that's what makes those like some of the better ones that are available. So Activision wasn't always like the bad kid in the neighborhood. And it's really interesting how this like crown of shame, or the shame bell, if you will, kind of floats around to different developers year after year, right? One year, EA's the bad guy. Worst company in America, right? Then Activision's the bad guy. Then, you know,
they're all bad for different reasons. They have their own flavors of bad. So
Microsoft probably wore that crown at one point, but I would say at this point, there's always going to be some Microsoft haters when it comes to, like, the operating system wars and all that, but I would say in the gaming sense, I don't think people are ganging up on Microsoft right now.
No.
You know, I think there's a lot of people that are actually kind of like, oh, we hope you catch up. You know, oh, Crackdown 3. You know, I think there's a lot of, you know, but it just goes to show, taking it all the way back to something I mentioned almost an hour ago at the top of the show, kind of that gaming attention span where 1 year it was one way. We should have wrote down on the paper, who do we hate now? Here's the companies we hate the most going into 2019. What does it look like at the end of, you know, 2019 going into 2020? I think that would be an interesting thing to look at. I don't know. So, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf shouting out Oink, which was also a great Atari 2600 game. One of my favorites. It was a multiplayer. One person could be the wolf and the other could be the pigs. Anyway, let's see. Tiger Claw says, the reality is they split from Activision because they've been breathing down their necks and wanting such and such in their games. And Tiger Claw says, now Activision doing it, so Bungie being better on their own. A lot of people were calling out the changes in stock and what's happened with the stock prices since this happened, and the stock has kind of come down a little bit. I would say certainly this is probably a part of it, but I feel like Activision has been in the news for a lot of weird things lately, right? Like they just had, what was it, their CFO or somebody went over to Netflix. That was a big headline I don't think we got to last week because of the power outage. Then we had the mobile game, the Diablo disaster, was a Blizzard. You know, that is still something Blizzard's kind of taken licks on. And then a little more recently after that, Everything Heroes of the Storm is going through with that league kind of getting, you know, basically pushed away into a deep dark closet somewhere, and then them basically saying, we're not going to do major updates on the game anymore. I mean, there's been a lot of kind of not so great news coming out of Activision Blizzard. This is just kind of the what next?
Now, I'm not sure how the Black Ops 4 sales were either, because I don't think a lot of these games that have been putting out each year are doing better than last year. I don't know where things are as far as sales go with those. I know they always really have a high expectation for the fourth quarter sales on those Call of Duty games, but I don't think anything's matched up to, like, I don't even know what the last big one would have been. Black Ops 3, maybe? I mean,
yeah.
I haven't been interested in them in a long time, which is unfortunate, especially this one. This one actually looked interesting, but then they didn't put a single-player campaign, so I have no interest in it now.
Great chat comment from VidPower573. Can you think of a time, well, I'm sure you can think of a time, but think of the general population, not just you, that Nintendo was the bad guys. Nintendo was absolutely the bad guys. Because usually Nintendo, we like Nintendo. We stick up for Nintendo, right? We get mad at Nintendo because we want them to do better, right? But do you remember a time when Nintendo was the bad guys? All right. Let me get to VidPower's comment. Back in the NES day, Nintendo's iron grip on NES publishing made them the bad guys. The Nintendo's seal of quality and all that, and their fights with Tengen and what happened with Tetris, and, you know, that whole thing, that in some ways made them the bad guys. Why you have Ultra Games that put out the Ninja Turtles game and the original Metal Gear and all this was because Konami hit their 3-game-a-year limit or whatever. I don't remember if it was 3 games a season or 3 games a year, but they wanted to do more, so they created, like, a secondary company to be able to do that. So, and then, of course, I thought of another one. Just, like, Nintendo was kind of the bad guys when it came to, like, the YouTube and all that stuff. But that, you could also kind of blame YouTube for a lot of that. I'm not out here to make a We Hate Nintendo show, because we don't. But it just goes to show everybody at some point makes the mistake that makes them the ire of the gaming industry for a little bit, right? So there is that. Anyway, I guess we'll move on, right? So let's continue with Nintendo. I think this is a pretty neat move from Nintendo. It's interesting, and I'm curious to see how it goes. And that is a new partnership with the Humble Store. That's right. The home of the Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
They also have a store, you may or may not have known. And when you buy games on there, you can donate a portion of it to charity. Not all of it, obviously, because there are a lot of new games on there. But the Humble Store announced this week on their website that they are now selling Nintendo games. I did a little bit of browsing on there, and you can buy, it doesn't seem like the whole catalog of, like, indie titles. It's mostly first-party Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
You can buy Smash. You can buy the new Mario game. You can buy Splatoon. You can buy Zelda. You can buy pretty much the big Nintendo first-party titles on the Humble Store. But that's kind of neat because, you know, I don't know about you, but I've always kind of thought as Nintendo is the company that they don't want to partner up with other stores.
Well,
why would
that's
they?
Not necessarily true. They do that with, like, GameStop. They sell their digital codes through there. They also sell digital codes through Amazon.
Fair enough.
I think a lot of other storefronts do it. What I like about the Humble Store, though, I think with Humble Monthly, you get some, like, cash back or, like, credit or something like that that you can use with things. So it's neat that they have that. It's just another option to be able to purchase things. I hope that means that we're going to see another Nintendo bundle because, you know, now that my kids have 2DSs and stuff, I still have some 3DS keys sitting in my library that I was like, hey, you know, I could give you some more games if you guys want, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, so I would love to see, you know, Humble Bundle. I don't think we're going to get first-party Nintendo titles. Well, never say never. I mean, something... Is there any title that kind of disappeared on the ARMS? Oh, I'm sorry, no. All the ARMS fans are going to come at me now. With their two arms. No, I don't know. What is there any, like, completely underperforming Nintendo title that they're just not going to probably focus on anymore on the Switch? I don't know. So maybe there's something like that might show up in a bundle, but I kind of doubt it. Nintendo doesn't even tend to put their shit on sale. But I think, Loki, you're a little more on it where it's like, well, they partner up with these other stores and do digital codes, especially in a storefront on the receipt. So why not team up with Humble?
I wouldn't necessarily think we're going to see a deep discount on digital codes. There usually isn't.
The in unison, ActFT and SJ100 Matt, 1-2 Switch. Brilliant. Brilliant idea, right? The hell with that game.
He's trying to capture that Wii Sports magic. Never going to fucking happen again. God, 1-2 Switch is fucking terrible.
Anyway, so I I kind of think this is interesting, especially, you know, 2019 in some ways is going to be the real year of the store evolution, I think, in some ways, right? We already know GameStop, they know their time is limited. And you walk into a GameStop this day and age, you see, sure, of course you still see physical games and they still buy the games, but you notice less of the store is focusing on that than was a few years ago. And now it's more like what box lunch and their other, like the nerd stuff, nerd store.
Well, right, because they own ThinkGeek, so they have all that stuff in there. And also you have to figure, and this was kind of the situation that, you know, our company was going through when we were kind of at the tail end before they closed everything, is because game margins aren't very big. And you can't really run your company on selling just new games. You're not going to be able to make a profit enough to.
But those little shitty Funko Pop dolls. No, I shouldn't say that. They're fun. But you know,
it's not shitty.
The only reason I hate on those things, just to be clear, the only reason I hate on those things, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're but including in this house. Yes, I see you looking over there.
Well,
you see
and like arcade games, so and I'm, like, you know, and Amiibo.
I'm shooting myself in the foot. Clearly.
They make a lot of money because the collectible stuff makes a lot of money. And I honestly, like, I enjoy looking at, you know, especially like nowadays, I know what's coming out. Like, I don't need to like go and browse the shelves. And every time I browse the shelves, it's like, what do I want in here? Like, what's on discount that I would pick up? I'm like, none of this because I'm not going to play any of this. But I do look at all like the toys and stuff and board games. I'm like, oh, hey. And then our store nearby has like Gundam models. I was like, oh, you've come calling to me again. I had a huge collection of Gundam models and I threw them all away.
But terrible. The GameStop thing is not the only thing I'm talking about when I talk about the year of the store changing. But of course, obviously, we have this Steam versus Epic Store versus Humble Store versus GOG, you know, versus Discord. All of this kind of starting to really get interesting with what, you know, and this has been an ongoing conversation with the price slashing for what, you know, the cut that the publishers get and all that. This is really heating up, and I think it's going to be a big year for that. So isn't this interesting where Humble's approach now for how can we get headlines, why are we limiting ourselves to selling PC games? Why not have a storefront to go buy Nintendo PC, and I bet before too long, if they can get agreements on the dotted line, Microsoft seems like an obvious, you know, next branch for that. Maybe even Sony at some point, although Sony, you know, probably wants to sell movies too, as they kind of like their place. But nothing's impossible, right? So we'll see.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, and if anything, you know, the very least, makes browsing those titles easier on the Humble Store because they sure as hell aren't easy to browse on the eShop. So. I mean, really, I don't understand with the eShop, too. That really doesn't make any sense why it couldn't be better. Because, I mean, look at, like, what the eShop was or the Wii Store, whatever the hell it was called, on the Wii. I mean, it was better on the Wii. And we're now on, like, several generations of systems later, and you can't do at least as good as you did before. I don't understand why that can't be possible.
All right, well, let's move on to our next story, because actually looking at Twitch and the headlines, I can actually see that we're going to address this store war issue again coming up real soon. So maybe I should just bite my tongue until then and move on to the next story.
So I'll try to like figure out what's going on here. So we've got it's basically some back and forth lawsuits with Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford. And I guess a former Gearbox attorney, Wade Callender, or Colander, looks like Callender. I'm going to say Colander.
We have the signature of one of those guys right here that a listener got us. Did you know that? Did you know this is, interesting. It probably didn't come through on Twitch. It may be if I'd gotten that sharpness on the camera to stick tonight, but interesting.
Yeah, Randy Pitchford. Not the most, I don't know. Anyways, so let's try to follow some of this because it's just kind of scandalous stuff that probably not necessarily refer, you know, it's just drama. So basically,
it's ugly. It's ugly.
So first there's, let's see, there's like a case that was against Colander, which I guess, then there was a complaint filed also. They're saying that Colander then sued Randy Pitchford and Gearbox in December of last year, basically in retaliation, and said that that lawsuit was in regards to Randy Pitchford allegedly taking a $12 million bonus from Take-Two Interactive in 2016 that he funneled into Pitchford Entertainment Media Magic LLC. And then, of course, there's another part of this which has to do with alleging that Randy Pitchford accidentally forgot a USB drive at a Dallas area Medieval Times restaurant in 2014, and the USB drive contained both highly sensitive business documents and underage pornography. Okay.
Gross.
Yes. And then, of course, the whole original, I guess, lawsuit. So, apparently, the lawsuit against Colander from November was for misusing company funds. It said that he borrowed money from the company for a home loan and tuition that wasn't fully paid back. And then also, I guess, as using credit cards for personal expenses such as family vacations, gun club memberships, firearm accessories, and trying to get six-pack abs.
So this is beyond ugly. I mean, when we talk about very, very, very serious things like pornography of underage folks, which is horrific, monstrous. I mean, you know, every negative word I can think of, just inserted here. It's disgusting, right? And it's unforgivable. And heaven forbid. But at the same time, you know, it's not been proven in a court of law yet. So,
no.
Despite the way social media works, sometimes we want to, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But
right.
That's a fucking monster of a claim to make.
Well,
I hope to hell it's not true.
Because I kind of like heard a few people tell the story. So from what I heard, it was, I think Randy Pitchford had gone on some podcasts and talked about his taste in like pornography or something like that, and like talked about like cam girls and things. I don't remember exactly how that came up, but it's something along the lines of that. And so it was apparently related to that in some way. I don't know.
I have just for the record, game developers out there interested in coming on Orange Lounge Radio. We ask a lot of crazy questions. I'll never ask about your porno habits. That's your business. Okay. What the hell? All right.
I don't even know where it came up from, but like, but of course, Gearbox also, they put out a statement basically saying Gearbox will be filing a grievance with the State Bar of Texas against our former general counsel Wade for disciplinary proceedings for filing a lawsuit that includes accusations that he knows to be untrue. The lawyer's rules.
So a legal clapback.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Look, here's the thing. I really hope and pray it's not true, because the problem, besides the crime, which is a big fucking problem, but it's going to taint everything this guy's touched. You know what I mean? And all these other, you know, and I pointed at this poster that one of our listeners kindly got us, and a lot of the signatures. The problem is, if this guy made a monster fuck up of that kind of proportion and he's the CEO of that company, then this guy, they all pay for it. And that's just the ugly side of this and the true. What was the big O that you just let out over there? I'm a little worried now.
So apparently, Ars Technica, I guess, had found, they said, Gearbox CEO says he left a USB stick of porn at Medieval's Times. So I guess he was on this podcast and he stated that he did that.
Okay. But porn.
But I don't understand.
Porn,
like,
is one thing. You know, porn is underage porn. Is a whole nother thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Loki, I don't think we know. I don't think the game blogs know. I think this is some of those things one of those things is going to have to be settled in a court of law. And it just sucks that this is as ugly as it is, because, like I said, you know, him being the CEO of the company, and with as much anticipation as there is about like a Borderlands 3, a story of that magnitude and this type of trouble, if proven to be true, is going to affect everyone. Like, and it's
so
just,
I don't know
gross.
If it's necessarily underage porn, but basically, so it says he was on the December 22nd episode of the Piff Pod, and he says he talked at length about porn that he enjoys, including cam girl pornography, in which the host exposes themselves to a live feed and takes requests and financial tips for consumers or whatever. It says he explains that he was a consumer of this content. He then confirmed that he copied a specific video to this memory stick, as he describes it, to work out a method of how the cam girl host faked the act of female ejaculation. He says, I realize this is not a sex worker. This is a fucking magician. for those under, and he says he had a vested interest in the field of magicians and owns a Magic Focus Janai magazine. So he says that he says this was before I learned I should have password protected memory sticks, and before admitting that he left the USB flash drive at the medieval times.
I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the story.
Okay,
enough. Okay, as Bobby puts in our chat room, Bobby says he said she was barely 18. He was on a magic podcast, Penn and Teller style magic, and it came up because what the cam girl did was magical, but he lost the USB stick immediately. Okay, look, this has nothing to do with games at this point, honestly. Just work it out in court, and I hope to God, you know, it's. People like what they like, but it needs to be legal. Done. Don't ruin the legacy of your game that so many people enjoy and love by doing something so fucking ridiculous and trying to be a badass on a podcast, which I realize is really ironic coming from us. But we've said a lot of weird shit on that's even outside my. I host the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and that's weird.
All I gotta say, man, is those special attacks in Borderlands 3 are gonna be some serious magical shit.
Right. Bobby in chat says, this is why I didn't cover it. Wait a minute, though, because you spent that time enhancing a story that you'd done last week. Right. It was on your short list. All right. Anyway, let's move on. For the love of God, let's move on to a different story. All right. Let's talk about what's going on with The Division 2, because this was a bombshell announcement this week. The Division 2, not going to be on Steam initially, is the word being used, yeah. Which is an interesting word, and will actually launch on the Epic Game Store on March 15th. This, according to a report from GamesIndustry.biz. As we know, the Epic Game Store has the 12% share, whereas Steam takes a 30% share. So is that coming into this? Probably. Mm-hmm. Could there be a little bit of extra payment or extra incentive that's not documented that Epic's making to score this kind of land? Probably. But that's not out there. So anyway, Game Industry also elaborated on their report that Ubisoft will be working with Epic on additional select titles throughout 2019. So come on, Just Dance 2019, exclusive to Epic Store. Okay, but all that stuff aside, obviously,
I don't think they have a PC version of that.
That would surprise me, considering they support literally every other platform, that they wouldn't have a PC version of Just Dance. That has to... Chatters?
I don't know.
Is Just Dance exist on PC? I don't know. Anyway, something that a lot of people pointed out right off the bat is that you're still going to have that Uplay thing, no matter what. And a lot of people don't really care for the Uplay.
I don't care anymore, honestly.
It feels a little bloaty to me. That's what I don't like about it. It just feels like it's collecting email. I do like the fact that you can earn achievements in one game and like buy things in another game. Like, I'll give you play that, but that little shell is still going to exist either way you slice it.
Yeah.
So what do you think though about this announcement? I mean, this,
it's good,
what we're talking
it's
about earlier.
Good for competition. I'm glad to see that there's competition for Steam, because Steam needs kind of a kick in the pants just to fix its shit. So more power to competition.
Yeah. Tiger Claw in chat says Uplay used to give you free games back in the day. And maybe they will on PC. Who knows? But it's like another thing I've got to put on my PC. But Uplay was always kind of like embedded in the game. And you feel like this extra thing. I mean, maybe the extra thing does exist, but I just don't notice it. Maybe because I play more on console, the Ubisoft stuff. I don't know. But I do know The Division 2, a lot of people looking forward to that, right? Because it's kind of like, it's like The Division, obviously the sequel of The Division, but The Division is like kind of like an MMOE type of gun game, right? That has a lot of, like, it's kind of like their version of Destiny, sort of, but like with the Tom Clancy spin,
I guess.
Sort of is one way to put it. I know it's very multiplayer heavy and, you know, very much co-op squad type of thing. It looks interesting. I kind of wish I was more into those type of games. I'd probably give it a go, but not at $60. But maybe when the sequel comes out, they'll kind of like give the first one away, and I'd be interested in like checking that out maybe. Talking about you playing free games and all that. Any of you guys in chat really looking forward to The Division 2? I'm curious about you guys. Since Loki and I are kind of sitting here admitting, we know it's a big game. We know a lot of people are looking forward to it. It's not exactly the type of thing that Loki and I are going to jump out and get day one. So I'm curious about you guys. Is there anybody that's going to be getting The Division right off the bat? What do you think of this news? The fact that it's going to the Epic Store. Do you think it's a big deal or what?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Just not my game.
While I wait for the delay and the answers to come in, I will say, as far as the Epic Store goes, you know, they're still giving away those free games every two weeks. So I just picked up, and I really, if you guys do have the Epic Store on your computer, which if you have Fortnite on your PC, then you probably do, What Remains of Edith Finch is the game they're giving away right now. And that was one of my favorite games when it came out on the PlayStation 4. It's, you know, one of those more exploration-based narratives, not a lot of skill needed. I really enjoyed that game, and I highly recommend it. And the fact they're giving it away for free, you don't have an excuse unless you don't have a PC that'll run it. You really don't want another store on your PC. I'm sure you can think of excuses, but there's very few of them left.
Speaking of, like, exploration games, so I finally got my son to play the Stanley Parable.
Oh, yeah?
So he's been playing through that. But he's like, I finished it. I'm like, no, you haven't. You haven't finished it yet. You have to play through it multiple times.
Some comments on The Division. ActDef says, I remember the demonstration they gave at E3 with the Gamer Talk. Yeah, the release.
Oh, God. Yeah, can we stop with the Gamer Talk?
But that isn't Ubisoft. That shouldn't be a reflection on the actual game. Questbuster. Questbuster says, The Division is the third-person shooter in post-apocalyptic plague NYC. I love it. They really turned it around. Can't wait for The Division 2. Although SG100 Matt points out, Division 2 takes place in D.C., not NYC. So, and SG100 Matt suggests, in-game, D.C. looks like if this shutdown drags on much longer. Little government shutdown joke there in the chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, well, we're making history.
Yeah, we sure history.
The wrong kind of history, but we're making it.
Anyway, why don't we move on to another company making history that isn't the greatest kind, right, Loki?
Yes. So Formula One apparently is cracking down on people playing sim racing games. So there's been, I don't know if anybody's paid any attention to YouTube drama, and I wouldn't even say it's necessarily drama, it's just like YouTube bullshit. Where people get copyright claims for dumb shit. Like, for example, there was one I saw this week that a guy was testing his microphone and was going like, test 1-2, test 1-2, like just checking levels and stuff. And
why would you do a YouTube video of that?
Well, he was just checking to see how it came through or whatever. It was a live stream. And it,
oh, okay.
It was like a live stream, so he was testing.
I've had my own BS Twitch live stream.
It was a private video, and then it got copyright claimed by a music company saying that this was a song that he stole. And he's like, what the fuck? You know, like this, none of this made sense. But like, it's this type of stuff that happens, and people will blame the algorithm and stuff. So, for example, in this case, they're playing sim racing games, and it's some of them happen to be like Gran Turismo Sport, for example. And it's not necessarily they're playing with Formula One cars, but they're on some tracks that, you know, Formula One racing races on. And so they said that some of the videos, I guess, resemble Formula One footage, and they're being removed by YouTube or, you know, being copyright claimed by Formula One management for a clip, you know, of someone live streaming sim gameplay, which is stupid because it's not their footage.
Formula One has no right to that footage, but if I'm not mistaken from what I'm reading about this, it sounds like it's like one of those bots, right? The bots that scan things out of control.
And here's the messed up part about YouTube, just to kind of remind people. So the way the copyright claim system works is, so like, say someone claims one of my videos and I say, well, no, your claim is wrong. You know, this is actually fair use, whatever. It's up to them, the people that claimed your video, to decide, meh, I think I'm right. And then they'll say, no, you're wrong, and you get copyright strike. And then your only chance to fight the copyright strike is to take them to court. And so it's basically, you know, anybody can, you know, go on to someone's video and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to claim this. And then they say no. And then you know, they counterclaim or whatever, and then they can wait the 30 days and just, like, release it at that point. But they've already taken the revenue from you for those 30 days. And it's basically, like, free money because there's nothing. YouTube isn't stopping them. So
I was like, I would delete my YouTube channel and go somewhere else. But I realize that's easier said than done. Some of these people have been making a little money off of YouTube. I think the art of being a professional YouTuber, much like a professional Twitch streamer, mind you, it's a volatile ground, and not that. And this is my personal opinion, okay? This is why I always stick with it as a hobbyist, because it could be gone one day. Here one day, gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? And it's shit like this that kind of proves that.
Or there's another YouTuber, Jameski, who I watch, and he does a lot of game streams and stuff. He does like weird like TikTok videos and stuff. And he was making fun of a video he saw on TikTok. And apparently the girl on there, or well, it was her management company, saw this video. And so what did they do? They did a copyright claims on like a ton of copyright claims all at one time. And it's not necessarily that they're trying to say that this content, like the whole video, is theirs. They're just doing it to get back at this person, and because they know that four or five copyright claims are three and you're out. So three in your channel is deleted from YouTube. And so they just do that all at once. They'll say, oh, yeah. You know, and there was actually a game company. Several developers have tried this too, where someone will say something bad about their game and they'll go and copyright claim all of their videos.
On the robot shit should not be legal. Well, I don't know another way to put it. Like, you might think I'm just being like,
well, it's
dramatic.
Not all robots though. It's manual claims too that people go and do
that's
that.
A whole
but
other thing.
But it's manual claims. And
where's the three strikes against the people falsely
there
doing
is
the
nothing.
Manual claims?
And they can't.
That's a fucking YouTube problem. Why are people not going to these YouTube conventions and screaming the door?
They
down?
Can't because it's DMCA. Because YouTube has to be separate from this issue in order for them to be kind of like a safe harbor type thing. They can't put their, you know, a horse in the race, because if they put any sort of like, no, this is not legit, you know, a person looks at it, then they're like starting to evaluate.
Well, this country needs to re-examine copyright, trademark, IP reform, but we can't even run a fucking government right now, so I'm not going to hold my fucking breath.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous and sad. This all kind of goes with the Tumblr bots too, right? That's been a big controversial thing, right? The bots on Tumblr that scan for pornography and like, it gets some of it, but doesn't get all of it, and it causes a lot of false stuff too.
We just have algorithms, right? The algorithms aren't good enough to do their job correctly, yeah. And to bring it all back to the algorithm. So, a Formula One F1 spokesperson, they said that there was a temporary issue with some settings which inadvertently served claims against some users' content.
Well, alrighty then, huh?
And it was immediately noticed and quickly rectified. I don't think so, but sure, whatever.
All right. Well, I need to de-stress after all this news, so maybe one game I could play to de-stress would be a brand new title that's coming out to the Switch in spring of 2019. It's called Panty Party.
All right.
Are you ready? Are y'all ready for a panty party? And you know, of course, I have B-roll of this, so check this out. Panty Party coming out for the Switch. You literally play as a pair of panties. And the developers go out of their way. This is not a hentai game. This is not a sexy girls wearing panties game.
This is
you are panties with your frilly, flowery panties, striped panties, going around, waving swords, firing. But why? I don't know.
It's
a panty fighter, basically. So, Panty Party coming out for the Nintendo Switch in spring of 2019. And, yeah, that's really all I can say about that. Yeah. Well, are you going to play Panty Party?
Oh, yeah. Day one.
I love this. From the press release or what have you. Feel emotions of foolishness and excitement with Panty Party. Energetic dancing music. It is the melody of panties. Every color imaginable, it is the color of panties. This is a product that people will probably
buy. It's ridiculous.
And yet they won't make President Cat. They won't bring Mother 3 to America. Japan is getting an extra game on the Switch Online service this week that we're not getting. But yet, Panty Party. No hentai. Just the panties.
You know, we could just make the U.S. equivalent of it and just have, like, you know, Tidy Whitey Party or something. Like
Boxers versus briefs.
There you go.
That finally, we're going to put an end to this once and for all. Boxers versus briefs. That'll be the sequel. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, stream that on your personal channel, not the Vogue channel. What's the problem? It's just cotton. It's nothing.
It's just
nothing.
There's no
it's just
nudity.
Panties.
There's
no nudity.
There's sentient underwear.
Wait, wait, wait. Did Bobby say I'm not allowed to play something on the Vlog channel? Is that something I heard? All right, I better stop before he pulls the plug on it. It's new. Hey, it's news. We have to report it. It's happening in the industry. Got to talk about it. I'm sorry to say. Metal Mayhem suggests more like Call of Panty, modern panties. Sure. Pod Culture suggests the spinoff Panty Racers. All right, enough. Done. Cancel this segment. Move on. Let's move on to the... ooh, I didn't even advance it. I got so excited about the panty party, I forgot to advance the thing. But let's move on to the classic game of the week. It's funny that somebody brought up racing games, because I think we need to get to the classic game of the week and maybe hear about another one. And so we take a step into the gaming vault, and we dig up our old photo and put it next to our new photo while we visit the classic game of the week. And joining us here in studio, not on Skype tonight, say hello to Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
Why, hello there.
Hello, we've missed you.
What'd you throw?
Well, my aim's improving. I'm throwing classic NES carts, actually.
Oh, ow.
But don't worry, they're just copies of Clue Clue Land. Nobody will miss them.
Freaking Clue Clue Land.
Anyway, you actually haven't done that as a classic game of the week, huh?
I might have.
Maybe. I don't know. There's a large... You know, you've done over 500 classic games. Well, maybe not you yourself, because you have a lot of help sometimes, but...
I've done most of them.
You've done most of them. You really have, so...
Hold on. I'm actually seeing if I've done Clue Clue Land.
All right. Well, in order...
I have not.
Okay, well, maybe...
Fuck.
Maybe a future game in the making. But anyway, I know it's not what you picked tonight, but you went into the gaming vault and found a game that was at least 10 years old. I think tonight's a little bit older, more like 20.
More like 20.
And you found a game for people to check out. What is the classic game of the week, Dark Sakura?
Crash Team Racing.
Everybody's Crash Team Racing. I don't know. Yeah. I got nothing.
By the way, of course, we all know that Awesome Games Done Quick is going on.
Well, not by the time this airs.
Well,
they're wrapping up.
Super Metroid is the finale.
Of course. Good. I'm glad to see it back.
I had to watch Sanic Ball.
Oh, yeah. Bobby was telling me about that.
That was pretty funny.
Good times.
Okay. Anyway, Crash Team Racing, also shown as CTR : Crash Team Racing.
Because acronyms are cool. You're listening to OLR talking about CTR.
We'll need CPR when this is done.
With the CGOTW.
It's a kart racing game. It was produced by Naughty Dog, and it was published by Sony for the PlayStation. It is actually considered the fourth of the Crash Bandicoot games, and it focuses on a team of racing characters who have to race against nitrous oxide to save their planet. Aww. So you can be one of 15 different Crash Bandicoot characters, though only 8 are available at first, so you do have to do some unlocking. You also have different offensive and speed boosts that will give you an advantage. And the game was pretty much, you know, looked at with approval for its gameplay and graphics, although it had some kind of questionable audio. And then there was an indirect sequel called Crash Nitro Kart in 2003 for the Game Boy Advance, GameCube, PlayStation 2, Xbox, and N-Gage. I think you'd hear about the taco on this one.
Wow.
And then there was a remaster titled Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, which was announced at the Game Awards 2018 and will be released on PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch on June 1st, 2019.
So a lot of people have been thinking about this lately because that trailer for the new one did look really sweet.
Mm. So at any rate, you can, you know, you're driving along, you use the analog stick and buttons to go, and you also have different crates that are through the whole area. With the question mark, they have power-ups and weapons. If you have a weapon or power-up, it will show in a box on the top of the screen, and then you can activate them. Then you get fruit crates with Wumpa Fruit that gives you more speed and strengthen your weapons and power-ups.
So not to say it's a copy of Mario Kart, but...
It's a copy of Mario Kart.
Imagine Mario Kart with Crash and friends.
You also have the power slide. Ooh.
Ooh, is that like the cha-cha slide?
I don't know. So when you slide, you also have a turbo boost meter that will let you fill it up, and then you also will burn up your gas. So it's different stuff. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of the Kart Racer series, but I did want to bring this up because what do we have coming out? Like I just said.
But the remaster, sure.
So you have different modes in the game. There's 5 different modes. You get Adventure, Time Trial,
Can I just say, too, before you detail all the most, I think this one, too, like, even if you're not, like, super into the kart racers, I think, and, you know, we joke it's a Mario Kart clone. There's been a lot of Mario Kart clones over the years, right? We had a pretty good Final Fantasy one. That really was my favorite of the clones, the Final Fantasy Chocobo Racing.
Yeah.
But there's been, like, Hello Kitty clones. There's been Sonic. There's been, you know, like, everybody has kind of tried their own
Supersonic Racing.
Well, I mean, the Mario Kart series is huge, right? And, you know, some of them have brought some new things. But anyway, Crash is really one of the better ones, and especially, you know, in an area where you didn't really have a lot of crossover, right? PlayStation games were PlayStation. Nintendo games were Nintendo, Super Nintendo or Nintendo 64 around this era. You know, Dreamcast games were Dreamcast. You maybe had the rare third-party game that kind of crossed over. But for the most part, things really kind of stayed on the system they were on. So, like, if your house didn't have Nintendo 64, like my college dorm room, but you had a PlayStation and a Super Nintendo, you kind of got Crash Team Racing because you didn't have something to play Mario Kart 64 on. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's another power-up I forgot. But when you get airtime, you actually build up a speed boost until you land. And then the longer you're in the air, the bigger the speed boost you get.
Nice.
So anyway, your modes, you have Adventure, Time Trial, Arcade, Versus, and Battle. So you pick any of the characters. And sorry, I just got texted telling me that the Mario Odyssey run was wild.
Oh, fun.
Thanks, Dan.
that means they're almost done. I think the Super Metroid is all that's left.
Super Metroid, yeah. Well, yeah. That and the Bloodstained incentive.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, you can use the multi-tap for PlayStation to do a 3 or 4 player game. So Adventure Mode is one player where you have to race through all the tracks for trophies and stuff and get all the things. And that's, you know, your story mode. So you also, of course, the other levels, you know, Time Trial, Arcade, Versus, and Battle, they sound, you know, they basically explain themselves. As far as, let's see. So with the characters in this, you get Crash. You have Dr. Neo Cortex. You get Coco Bandicoot. You get Dr. Engine. You get Pura and Polar. You get Tiny Tiger and Dingodile.
So you get Crash, the main villain, and B-listers.
Yeah, and his stupid friends.
Yes.
And then you also get some other boss characters. You get Ripperoo, which is a straight jack wearing kangaroo. Didn't they steal that from Tank Girl?
Maybe.
Papu Papu. Komodo Joe. And Pinstripe Potoroo. I have no idea what a Potoroo is, and I have to look at this. It's a kangaroo-like marsupial, because, of course, if it's anything from Australia, it's either a marsupial or deadly. You also get the witch doctors Aku Aku and Uka Uka as your tutorial. So,
But you do not get the Uma Uma Nuku Nuku Apuaha, the official state fish of Hawaii.
Right.
Yes.
Congratulations. Anyway, the game started development as a bunch of just blockheaded characters, no Crash, nothing else with it. Naughty Dog was showing it to Sony, and they had interest in the game to make it Crash-themed, and Sony's like, okay, cool. So they made a deal with Universal, and they already had like a plan for original characters in case it didn't go through. But production began after Crash Bandicoot 2, and it was made actually right about the same time that Crash Bandicoot Warp was being produced, so it was finished by then. And so, it basically, like, now this was funny because I actually watched a beta build of this. They used a replica of Crescent Island from Diddy Kong Racing to test the tracks. And some of its data is still in the game. So, they wanted to basically just use that to see how it would render and see how much better it would go. So they actually were able to get a lot of the game to run. And it's really, believe it or not, fairly low res. Just they did some kind of marvel to make it work right. So it did get some pretty good reviews, generally favorable. Famitsu gave it a 33 out of 40. EGM gave it a 9.3 out of 10. GameSpot gave it an 8.4 out of 10.
a quite respectable showing.
The controls were really what was most praised about it, and the graphics. They really thought that the graphics were great, that they weren't too complex, but with the cartoony style and the use of how they use the textures and colors to keep the polys down, then, you know, they thought it was a really good use of it. And some people really liked the background music, and some people said it was annoying as shit. It was nothing, or actually really boring in some cases, nothing cute, clever, or memorable. So yeah, we have the remaster coming out, which is Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. So it's going to be out on June 21st, 2019, and we'll see what it looks like. But the thing about the new one is it is being recreated from the ground up, completely new assets, online play, kart customization, including all the karts from Crash Nitro Kart. And they are actually adding in yet another boss as an unlockable character.
Fun.
So there you go.
All right, there it is. Your classic game of the week, Crash Team Racing. Woohoo.
CTR.
There you go.
On OLR.
On the CGOTW. Anyway, we got to get back to the main show, but one thing we're going to be talking about tonight, Dark Sakura, I know, because I can see the future, is the predictions. Remember we did the time capsule last year?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to go through that tonight, and I'm curious, you know, I don't want to put you too much on the spot. Maybe we'll get some more official predictions for you next week when I know you're here live during the show on January 20th, but do you have any maybe like early predictions for maybe things you want to see in game? Maybe not so much an actual prediction, but just something you want to happen in 2019.
So much Animal Crossing.
You're eagerly awaiting the Animal Crossing, huh?
Yes.
Sounds good.
I actually have pre-ordered.
Already?
Yeah, I pre-ordered when I bought
But Jamie, was it really a pre-order
Smash
or was
Brothers.
It an order?
It was an order.
You knew I had to.
I know. It's colloquialism, but it's a stupid one.
Yes. All right.
Dan's like, are you preheating the oven? No, I'm heating it. For all the delicious cookies
yes,
that
I'm heating
made.
It now in preparation. I'm prep heating the oven. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Let's get back to the live
you
show.
Can't. It's like, how do you heat something before you heat it?
I don't know. Anyway. Any last words for us, Dark Sakura?
Bronchitis sucks. Don't get it.
All right. And we're back here with Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 759 for this January the 13th of 2019 with our show already in progress. Thank you guys so much for being here. I noticed looking at the number of people watching on Twitch right now, we have over 50 people watching. So
Hooray.
Thank you guys so much for checking out the show. I really appreciate it. I see we've had some subscribers and stuff so far. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it. For those that don't know, we've been doing our podcast on Shoutcast for over 15 years and various forms like Life 365 and so forth. Our first show you might have seen on the bottom bar go by was in June 2002. So we've been doing this for a while, and we just did the Twitch move in mid-December.
God,
and
it's like
been great.
16 and a half years now.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time. So the video thing is still a little weird, and I've got a lot to learn and still managing more things than I was doing with audio, but having a lot of fun and getting to expose the show to new people on Twitch is always great. And we really enjoy having you guys here to be able to participate with the show, getting to read what you guys have to say live in chat, hopefully getting some of your calls later on in the show as well. And it's been a real feel good time ever since, except for last week when the power went out. That was a feel bad time.
Yeah,
but you know, crap happens. We managed about an hour show out of that anyway. So
yeah,
it was
a nightmare like coming home from that, because like people don't know how to drive when there's a power outage, and you know you're supposed to stop at intersections, you know, treat it like a four way stop. People like treat it like there's no stop, just keep on going. And yeah, it was a nightmare.
All right, so I totally forgot to do this during the break, but I think you did it, so you're going to have to start us off while I try to hastily write here. But we're talking about now for the time capsule that we did earlier in the show.
Yes.
We wanted to put in there the things, the most anticipated games for 2019, right? So we can open it up in a year and be all, how did these games turn out? Like kind of like we had the Secret of Mana remaster in there from last year, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, that kind of came and went, didn't it? So let's take a look at the big stuff for next year. So, Loki, what are you going to put in there to reflect on in a year's time? I'd be curious for you guys in chat as well. What are the things you're massively hyped about in 2019 over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network?
So I put down Crackdown 3 because I am somewhat hyped about that. I love me some Crackdown games. I put Animal Crossing Switch because I mean, I'll like that. My wife will probably be more hyped about that than I will, I guess. I'm holding out for Borderlands 3, but in the case that that doesn't come out, well, actually, I don't know when this is coming out either, but The Outer Worlds, because that looks awesome. That would be a good Borderlands-type game, and it's kind of Fallout-ish, and I would be down. I don't know if that's coming out in 2019. That might be a 2020 game, but it looked fucking awesome when we saw it, so I'm hoping to check that out. I may actually check out Rage 2 a little bit. It looked okay. And then also the new Fallout game, or not Fallout, a Far Cry game that's coming out in February, the kind of post-apocalyptic thing, which makes me reminds me, I think go back and play Fallout, or I keep seeing Fallout, Far Cry 5. I was actually going to start Fallout 4 again, because that was one of the games I was looking at last night to play. It's been a while. I don't remember what happened when I last played it. All I know is they patched out all my fun exploits, and so that, you know, I got to have mods now. There wasn't mods when I... But to tell you how long ago it was that I played Fallout 4, it was before they had mod support in Fallout 4. It's been that long.
W04 in our chat says, Broccoli Farmer Simulator. Those jokes are gonna... We should write down, is the broccoli thing still a joke? Can you put that on a visa? Is the broccoli thing still a joke?
I threw away my paper, guess we can't.
All right. Okay, so I notice I agree with the Wandering Apparatus on one of these. So my anticipated games, I didn't even put Kingdom Hearts 3. I feel like I'm still convinced somehow that game's not coming out ever. Yes, I know it's only 2 weeks away, but like I don't even know
what happens in the Kingdom Hearts games. I'm so lost.
Does it matter?
It does matter. It's a story.
It's Disney and Donald won't heal you. All right. Anticipated games. Number one, Animal Crossing. Of course. Come on. Number two, Metroid Prime 4. So I'm with a lot of you guys on that one. I'm really excited about that. Number three, Harry Potter Wizards Unite. Because you know I'm a sucker for the location-based games. So I am really curious to see how the Harry Potter game goes over. And I really hope it's not garbage. I'd be so sad. And then I added a fourth game deal with it because I had to put Pokemon Gen 8 on it. Because somebody else said Pokemon Gen 8 in chat. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I have to put that on there. So there you go. Those are my anticipated games for 20.
Honestly, my most anticipated games are going to be the ones we don't even know about yet, because that's kind of what it ends up being, is that there's so many games that are coming out. Like, I don't even know. Like, think about this year, aside from, like, Animal Crossing, which will be fun for a while, but it's fucking Animal Crossing. It's going to be the same goddamn game again, and you're going to play it for a while, and you're going to get bored with it. Whatever.
Great comments in chat. Miltonius Games. Miltonius Games. Sorry if I said your name wrong. Dragon Quest XI for Switch. That's going to be a thing in Japan. Don't know if we'll get it here, but hopefully. Let's see. ActDev says Goose Game. That's right. Wasn't that called like Asshole Duck or something?
No, it was Untitled Goose Game.
Okay.
It looks awesome.
Everybody was calling it like Asshole Goose or something like that, which obviously they're not going to call it.
No, that one looks awesome. There was there's a Raccoon Game too that's like that looks awesome. I want to check that out. All these devs I follow on Twitter. There's some skateboarding game that they have coming out. Looks pretty awesome too. That looks like Skate, but it's not Skate. I don't remember what it's called now.
So anyway, you guys in chat have some great answers, and I really encourage you. Like, you have to have some little thing like this. I don't even know where the hell this is, like a bank or something. I don't think it comes through on the camera very well, but it's a little picture of Darth Vader, appropriate, I suppose. To find something in your house like that and fill it up with your own predictions. And so when we come back and do this again in a year's time, you can see how your predictions went. I think it's fun. Wandering Apparatus in chat says, I'm going to Hufflepuff the Muggle out of that AR game when it comes out. Who's with me? I'm there, except I'll be a snake emoji Slytherin. So assuming we get to pick a house, we'll see.
My kids are totally into Harry Potter right now. I mean, yeah. I bought my youngest son a Harry Potter t-shirt, and they both got Harry Potter wands for Christmas.
Nice.
And so they're just like, they're digging Harry Potter. They're going to be disappointed we're not going to Harry Potter land this year, but...
Maybe next year.
They'll deal.
Maybe next year you can go to, where they make, the Frozen Peas Factory.
Frozen Peas Factory.
All right.
You can't do that twice. They know better. They already suspect that they're not going to a broccoli farm because they're like, well, what are we going to do, at broccoli farm and stuff? So, like, they're like, we're not going to a broccoli farm. Like, well, you don't know where you're going, so just wait and see.
All right. Let's move on. We got to check out some rapid fire news. So we got some quick stories to cover, right, Logie?
Yep. Final Fantasy X and X-2 will be coming to the Switch and Xbox One on April 16th. And then, of course, they're going to be doing the Final Fantasy XII remaster. Will be coming out on both of those platforms on April 30th. So it's going to be Final Fantasy April.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's not a lot of breathing room between those two titles. I would have thought they'd try to spread it out a little bit, but
yeah,
whatever. All right.
And then you may remember those arcade 1-Up cabinets that you can go buy at your local Walmart or wherever. Well, there's going to be more cabinets coming out soon. So they've got Final Fight, which is going to have Final Fight, 1944, Ghosts and Goblins, and Strider. That's coming out in February.
That's a good pack.
The Space Invaders cabinet, which is going to be Space Invaders in both color and black and white. That's in February as well. If you're, you know, I remember this game in arcades, but Golden Tee, that's going to be coming out as well. Golden Tee Classic, Golden Tee 2K, and Golden Tee 99 and 98.
It might seem like a weird pick, but that's that game that's like that random game they have in a bar or at the Walmart arcade. Remember, like Walmart's
yeah.
like Deer Hunter and Golden Tee. So, like, it's
where's
it's,
Big Buck Hunter?
Wait for 2020. It's an interesting choice, but it's not, like, completely out
oh
of random.
Oh, my God.
In fact, I could see where maybe they're trying to sell these to go in. Well, legally, I wonder if they could, but maybe something to go in bars and places like, I don't know.
You know what I
don't
want?
The legalities of that.
Well, I'm going to get to what I want after we're done here. But
okay.
So they have the Mortal Kombat cabinet, which is coming out on in September. That's Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. And then the Karate Champ cabinet, that's Karate Champ, Bad Dudes, Burger Time, and Caveman Ninja, and that's in September as well. And those are each at $300.
Bobby kind of echoes in chat that, remember the Golden Tee was for many years the highest grossing arcade game in America for years. Yeah, because it's the one game that would show up the places that arcade games don't show up.
So I know that right now the reason that they don't have these light gun games and stuff because they don't really have a way to do light gun stuff on LCD or LED screens and stuff like that. Until now, I mean, they're going to be working on something, but...
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I thought we had a story on
yes,
that. I guess
up until now, it's been not possible, but I would totally love for a Namco gun collection.
Point blank, yes.
Point blank yes, and yes, Time yes, Crisis? Yes, please. Yes.
Oh, my God. I would... Point Blank is like one of those series, like it's up there with like the Guardian Legend for like series I most want to.
I would even be fine with, you know, they did it before, like with the Move controller or even like the Switch controller or something like that. I would be fine with just another Point Blank remaster collection or something like that. Come bring it back. Point Blank was awesome.
Let's see. In chat, Tiger Claw suggests that Arcade 1-Up will need to lower the price on the cabinets because I still see a bunch of them at Walmart. You know what's interesting? This whole retro thing, like, you know, I mentioned I was at Fry's over the weekend and I saw, you know, the stacks and stacks of the PlayStation Classics, but I didn't realize how much of this because they have like an entire aisle. Like, you got one aisle for, like, PlayStation games, one aisle for Xbox games. They have, like, an entire aisle for, like, retro consoles. Because everybody's trying to get in on this now for, like, you know, the Atari
yeah.
flashbacks and, like, just random, like, there's, like, a Pac-Man, Namco
well,
thing,
they also
a
have,
Mega
like,
Man 2.
They also do these, like, loot box things. It's kind of like, you know how you have, you know, the, well, the actual loot box service where you get, like, a box full of, like, tchotchkes and T-shirts and stuff like that for mm-hmm. certain things. They sell those in these retail stores for like different things like that, the PlayStation or the Nintendo or Zelda loot box things where it has like a bunch of, you know, socks or
yeah.
pins, who knows what.
But I'm sure as the technology, you know, to like build those machines comes down and down, they figure out how to build them cheaper. I bet the price will start to come down as well. And you're mentioning in chat, already starting to see them for like $249, which, you know, I think it depends. You know, it's all about supply and demand, and I think people are really seeing like, oh, the people are willing to pay for these emulators they've been playing for free for years.
If I had the space, I mean, those. I'm wondering what kind of mods you can do on those things because it would be cool just to hook up. Like, because I can't see buying. You know, granted, yeah, you're supporting somebody that maybe somehow the money's trickling down to them. I doubt it, but like, it would be interesting to see like. Being able to add more games to an existing cabinet. Like, I wish they would do just, like, a service like that where you buy the shell cabinet and then you pay for the licensing for the different games and just download them virtual console style. I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, moving on to some other rapid-fire news. This is sad news. Has to do with Civilization V. Game's still there, but unfortunately the narrator of the game and the voice you hear in the game did pass away over the weekend. William Morgan Shepherd was the actor's name, passed away. You might know him from Civilization V. That's his tie to gaming, but he's had a lot of appearances, a lot of sci-fi stuff. He was in Doctor Who episodes, Star Trek, was also in the Medal of Honor games. I know William Morgan Shepherd from the Elvira movie. He was the antagonist in the Elvira movie. He was like the uncle that was trying to... Yeah, anyway, that's what I remember William Morgan Shepherd from. So, and I had no idea that he was the voice in Civilization V. So rest in peace. And thank you for those contributions to pop culture, gaming culture, and all those awesome things. Moving on, we got to say something about Awesome Games Done Quick. I guess we already we talked about it a little bit, I think, on our call with Bobby.
I watched much of that this week.
Yeah, I talked about this on the Bobby call. I won't repeat myself too much, but Shane brought to my attention that Mega Man DOS was going on. I had to watch that because I actually remember that game. I watched some of the other stuff. I saw a little bit of the whole the guy that said he was going to do the flossing during the cutscene in Splatoon 2 and all that stuff. So, yeah, I kind of watched it here and there. So it's always a good time. They do a good, really, really good charity event there. You get to see a lot of different games. It's a good, like, informational game period because what I like about it, here's what I like about the thing, is that I don't necessarily, like, the speed run is kind of like, all right, cool. And it is a great way to feature a lot of games in a very short amount of time. But what I like hearing is the speedrunner telling stories about the game and why they enjoy the game and how they got turned onto the game and about the game. Like
history, yeah.
The lady that was streaming the Mega Man DOS thing, she was bringing up like points about like it was developed by one person and like things I was not aware of. So I thought that was really cool. That's what I love most about that event is like hearing from – because you all know I love passion about games and stuff and that kind of positivity. That's what I love most about the speed runs. It's just hearing people be fucking enthusiastic about video games as opposed to like a lot of the doom and gloom we see sometimes in gaming culture.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Anyway. They did raise over 2 million.
It was like 2.3 or 2.4 million.
This article I don't think has a final number there. I think this
it's
just
2.4 million, I think.
Okay, just so, and probably still going as because they keep it open for a little bit after, right? So the Prevent Cancer Foundation is what they're raising money for. Great cause, great charity event. So congratulations to everybody involved with that. Next event is Summer Games. Is that the one that's in Orlando, or is it next year's Games Done Quick that's in Orlando? I know Bobby was talking a little bit about that on his show tonight there. So, yeah, very cool. And Bobby is actually trying to audition for a host announcer position. I hope he gets it. That would be great. So Summer Games is in Minnesota. Next Awesome Games is in Orlando. And that makes sense because Awesome Games is the winter one. So you want to choose a place that's going to be a little calmer in the winter. And then Minnesota, summer's a good time to go to Minnesota. So makes a lot of sense. Well, congrats to the folks at Awesome Games Done Quick. All right, now we're going to travel around the world and check out some upcoming releases in our release date segment. Loki.
Yes, so we do have a couple things coming out this week, starting off with Yakuza 4. That's coming out on PlayStation 4. Then we have a game, I don't know if this is Yeek, Postmodern RPG. It's Y-I-I-K. I don't know if that's supposed to be some acronym or something, but... yeah, a postmodern RPG, and that's coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. We've got Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown. That's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I know that supports the PlayStation VR, so you may have to check that out. Hopefully they have a demo. And last but not least, we have Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes on the Nintendo Switch. That's it.
I'm surprised you're not all about that game, maybe.
I'm a big fan of No More Heroes, but I'm not sure if this is going to be like a traditional No More Heroes game. It's a little bit different, so I may check it out.
Okay, that's fair. All right, let's travel over and check out some Japanese release dates. Believe it or not, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds on the PlayStation 4 in Japan is a game to look forward to this week, as well as Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet, the complete edition. Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown, also gets its Japanese release this week on the PlayStation 4, and a remaster of Ryuga Gotoku 4 Densetsu wo Sugomono is a remastered game that's coming out from Sega this week in Japan. Checking out the Nintendo Switch real quick to see if they get anything this week. Actually, doesn't look like it. Looks like it's a quiet week in Japan this week, at least as far as like retail releases go. I'm sure they still have some digital stuff going on this week. So that is what you have in Japan this week. Loki, can you cover Europe for us while we're still missing a Dark Sakura here?
Oh, yes, I can do that. So we've got Ace Combat 7 coming out there as well on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And then also Senran Kagura Burst, Renewal, and that's coming out on PlayStation 4 as well. And then Raven Remastered on the Switch. And I think that's it. It's hard to tell because game.co.uk has all their release dates out of order, even though you tell it to sort by date. So
convenient.
Thank you for being stupid.
All right, let's see, moving on. Questbuster talks about that Yik game, saying, I tried out the Yik demo. It's like a weird mix between Shadow Hearts and Earthbound set in the 90s. So that's
cool.
What Yik is. ActDef says Ace Combat 7 is going to be awesome. And Frodo Swaggins wants to know if that's a Pikachu creeping behind Loki. Yes, it is.
Yes.
I don't know if it's... Well, you got your bag in front of it, too. So Pikachu's holding the bag for you. But on the cam, there is a Pikachu. And actually, this is a brand new addition to the studio this week. On said Fry's trip, check that out. That's a little pillow, which I know it doesn't do you guys on the podcast good, but imagine like a little tiny body pillow, but like a small one, not like a big one, but it's like a Famicom controller. And that's what I kind of like about it is that instead of being a Nintendo controller, it's a Famicom controller. And I think that's kind of cool. So that's up there as well in our set, which you can check out over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Since we are an affiliate now, unfortunately, if you do want to watch the video, you have to be here live on Sunday night or be a subscriber, but you can use your Twitch Prime subscription if you have that to subscribe to VOG Network and be able to see the videos as well. But folks do make clips of Orange Lounge Radio. You get those little short 30-second clips. Those are free. So if you want to check out what the studio looks like, hopefully somebody made a clip of a little piece of this week's show at some point. So you can always check that out over on VOG Network. And Bobby kind of also dropping a hint that we might start looking at doing reruns now that we can do a little more video on demand, because we're talking about expanding stuff here at VOG Network, not just the two shows on Sunday night, but of course Anime Jam Session is going to be starting hopefully later this month, I hope, because I think the radio feed's going away this month, so hopefully they're starting this month, and some other stuff as well we're talking about that I'm not ready to disclose yet.
That makes sense. So Black Mamba 1977 says Yik stands for Y2K.
That makes sense.
That makes more sense.
Okay, why do they get Y? All right.
Y Roman numeral K? Yeah.
All right.
That's dumb.
Oh, Bobby Blackwell says Anime Jam Session starting this Tuesday. So they're coming back from their hiatus onto Twitch. That's great. I hope we'll all be here to support them. So that'll be Tuesday night. So check that out. All right. Let's move on. We've got some more gaming news to cover. Starting off. Oh, no. We're going to go to the mailbag next.
Yes. Starting off with the mailbag.
I can't even read my own damn schedule. All right. Let's go to the mailbag next. Sorry, I'm used to Dark Soccer doing this segment. All right, we have a few emails to get to tonight because we kind of had a cut short show last week. So let's get to our first email tonight from Hydro Thunder.
I love that game.
I know, good name.
That's another cabinet that I wish they'd bring a home version to, but you know.
Might be a little bit.
That's a little bit. Oh my God, San Francisco Rush even.
There you go. All right, anyway, yeah. Hydro Thunder says, hey Loki, Sky, and Dark Sakura. I've been thinking about purchasing a Switch, and I'm trying to decide whether I should go all in on digital downloads or physical games. Here's what I'm thinking. For digital, most cartridges require a download, and some games could have large patches, so I think it makes sense not to have to deal with cartridges if you need to use SD cards anyway. Also, digital downloads open the door to backwards compatibility on future consoles, like 360 games on Xbox One, if Nintendo decides to do that someday. However, having cartridges would allow me to share games with friends where digital would not, and it allows for secondhand sales. I believe you touched on this in the past, but I'm curious to see if your thoughts have changed after almost 2 years since the Switch release. I've been a longtime podcast listener ever since I found the To Go edition on my PSP when they added podcasting way back when. Thanks, Hydro Thunder. Well, thank you for being a fan of the show for so long, all the way back to Go on olrpsp.com, which no longer works. That's
sold the
awesome.
Files for it. That was something I dug up too.
I never realized how many folks that PSP thing brought to OLR. I think I really under... Because I think a lot of you weren't talking to us then. You're just kind of listening on the PSP. But yeah, I feel like we get emails every other week. Oh yeah, I found you guys through PSP. That's pretty cool. Good job, Loki, on that.
Hooray!
All right. Well, anyway, Hydro Thunder did a great job making the case for and against all by themselves. So I don't know what to add to that.
Well,
you really have to just kind of make the decision on what works best for you.
For me, like, it depends on like stuff that am I going to resell it or not. I tend to buy stuff digitally, but I have a 128 gig card that goes with my Switch, and I do purchase a lot of games physically because I end up getting them for my kids as gifts. And so, you know, you can't open up a digital thing. But I also purchase things off the eShop if it's on sale, like some of the older Lego games. Like, we had, what did I buy for them that was off, that's digital? I know I, Lego Worlds, for example, which is kind of like the Minecraft type game. I purchased that when it was like $10. There's been other digital games that I've purchased as well from there. I don't know. So a lot of those, I'll pick it up wherever it's convenient. If it's like a digital only game, then obviously it's going to be digital. If it's an older game, I may end up picking that up used if I can find it cheap enough. But a lot of the times, you know, especially if you're looking for games retail, they don't drop in price very much, because Nintendo. Mm-hmm. But, and same with, I mean, I guess the same could be said for digital. So it's wherever I can find it cheapest.
Yeah, for me, I still have to kind of weigh the pros and cons versus, you know, if there's a sale, if I can get it pretty cheap for digital, then I'll opt for digital. Or if it's like a game where it's like, I know I'm never going to take this game out of my console. I want it everywhere. And I started doing this with 3DS games like Animal Crossing, for example.
Or like Pokemon Let's Go. Like, I knew I was going to get that day one, so I was like, I'm just going to download it, and I bought it that way.
Here's the one big drawback I think Hydro Thunder left out of the email that I think is important to consider, is that digital stores and that stuff, they're not always there forever. Case in point, the Wii, right? The Wii eShop, you can't buy stuff on that anymore, and I believe if they haven't already, they're going to pull the plug where, like, if you don't download it, you're never going to be able to. That store is going to be poof, gone. So that's the problem. The one problem with digital stuff is that there may come a point where if you didn't download it digitally, you will never be able to download it digitally again. PT would be another great example, right? That one got ripped from the store completely.
Yeah.
That's obviously, there's a lot of different stuff going in there. I don't want to necessarily equate it completely, but I do think it is something to consider. So, you know, if you buy a game for $60 and it's retail and it's in a cartridge, you know that if you want to sell that back or loan it out or whatever, it does have value that you can sell back. But if you buy a game on sale where it's, you know, a $60 game you're getting for $20, but it's going to be digital, then I think you start to kind of weigh this, well, I'm getting it really cheap. Well, I can't sell it back, but I got it cheap. So the money I lost, I'm getting, you know what I mean?
And the other thing, too, I think it's the same for physical, is the Nintendo points that you earn as well. So when you purchase a game, you can redeem like the points on the store, and I know digitally you get like almost like 10% back in points, which turns in the money. So like, for example, if I buy a $60 game, I get $6 back that I can then use it for another digital game later on, and that ends up paying for things as well, and that drops the price for certain games.
Metal Mayhem in our chat says, physical games, especially collector's editions, often have physical extras. Yeah, some digital games do have extras, but some people prefer the physical stuff. Oh, absolutely. Sometimes the physical stuff is like out of control, right? But even now, you know, even the physical stuff is getting controversial, right? Fallout 76, the bag, right? There's some interesting stuff going on, but that's an exception. Anyway, Wandering Apparatus in chat, or The Wandering Apparatus in chat says, I was impressed with the Pokeball. Way more functionality than I had previously thought. Speaking of physical things and the Pokeball and that whole functionality, that's not something necessarily you get digitally. So,
my favorite function of the Pokeball Plus is how fast it can collect dirt on it.
Is that so? I didn't know that.
It is dirty as fuck, and I can't clean that shit for it all. And it's not my kid's fault at all. It's in my pocket. So it just rubs up against my black wallet that I have, and so it scuffs the crap out of it. I don't know why.
All right. Well, let's get to another email tonight from this next one is from Robert M. I do see that currently, alongside the $13 Smash Brothers Amiibos, I'm seeing Mabel from Animal Crossing for $5 due to the glut of these figures. I don't know what that figure did in New Leaf Welcome Amiibo, so what do you expect Mabel to do in the upcoming Switch game? Store and transport designs, perhaps? Also, with the 20th anniversary of the Japanese release of N64 Smash Brothers coming up, will there be special events?
total guess, fanfic speculation. I think the amiibo thing in the new Animal Crossing game will be a hotel. And if you use the amiibo, then certain people will show up and stay at the hotel and possibly give you things, items. Each one may have like a random item that comes with it. I think that's what they'll do. Because I don't think they'll maybe like have the character on the amiibo like move to your town permanently. But I think you could like force them to visit by using the amiibo and like a hotel type feature. That's my guess. My wild guess.
Yeah, I actually bought this week the amiibos because they have my kids have 2DSs and so they don't have the amiibo functionality built in. So I bought the amiibo scanner thing for the 2DS or the older 3DS systems. And so far we haven't figured out what will work with it. I have a villager, but apparently they said that's too epic to scan with the ghost thing. I know you can use it. It is compatible with the game, but you have to use it for something else, I think, to get furniture. Hmm. I don't know. I haven't played that game. It's my... I'll let my son and my wife figure that shit out, but I need to get... I was going to get one of those spoofers. I'm going to spoof that shit because they're fucking expensive.
Act Deft in chat points out Animal Crossing amiibo are dirt cheap right now. So dirt cheap. For New Leaf, you can score some of the amiibo and have special residence. I think, you know...
Where are those then? Where are they selling them at that they're so cheap?
There's probably the dollar store, honestly. A lot of overstock, I bet. I think with the amiibo, they kind of put out a bunch of series that, like, the masses didn't really want. Like, you know, the Animal Crossing didn't really work out so well because there wasn't really a console game.
I'd be down for the Animal Crossing ones. They put out too many
of those Kirby. Sorry, ActDev, you're going to hate me for that. But I think, you know, most people weren't looking for getting, like, Waddle Dee and some of the real, like, deep-cut Kirby characters. I think they put out too many of those. Like, Kirby, DDD, Meta Knight, some of the big ones, that, especially the ones in Smash, that makes sense. But I think they just, there's too many of them they really started putting out. And I think Nintendo kind of broke the formula there. But, you know, they're still putting out what? They're putting out Ice Climbers, King K. Rool, like the other Smash characters and so forth. So it's not like amiibo are going away anytime soon. So anyway. All right, one more email tonight, and if you want to email us at some point, participate at orangelaundry.com is the place to do it. You can see that written over there in the text for those of you watching on Twitch. For those of you listening on the podcast, write it down real fast. Participate at orangelaundry.com. This email from Frodo Swaggins. Thought somebody may hate or get a kick out of this. I was at my friend Randy's house, and he randomly shows me this, and I instantly thought of Rob. Apparently, it's a custom-made Bowsette amiibo. I was pretty surprised by the quality, LOL. Feel free to show it on stream if you want. Well, unfortunately, I can't show it on stream because I have to load that stuff in advance, and I forgot to do that tonight. But I did look at the pictures earlier, and it is a well-done... You know, it's like they took the original backing and made a custom one, and they took, like, a Peach figure and just basically made it Bowsette. It was well done, even though... And we didn't get to cover it last week, and I was really excited to talk about it. But Nintendo has confirmed Bowsette is not canon, okay? Nintendo even tried to say Luigi was the one that tried to wear the hat. I don't know. Anyway, but
And this is how you make Luigi, okay? Nintendo.
People hate me because I'm so anti-Bowsette. I'm not really. I just think, like, y'all went crazy with the Bowsette thing. That's all. I'm just slow down, internet. Slow down with that stuff. That's my only thing. But I do think the custom amiibo, for what it's worth, is really, really well done. So props to your friend, Frodo Swaggins. I'm sorry I can't show that on stream right now. But for those, you know, listening on the podcast that need a little bit of a visual as well, just imagine a Peach doll, but it's been done up like Bowsette and actually put back in the plastic with the custom backing and everything else. It was well done. I've seen things like that. I'm pretty sure I saw like a Waluigi one that was done in a similar way at some point. So anyway, let's move on. We still have some more stories for you guys. We're going to try to get to the Skype line. We are going to be working on a move to Discord very soon for our calls. Not tonight. We have no time to switch that over that fast tonight. But I would say sooner rather than later, like next week, if I'm able to get all the testing done before then, we will be moving to start taking calls on Discord. And so you'll want to be on our VOG Network Discord in order to do that. And to join our VOG Network Discord, you just go to VOGNetwork.com/Discord, and that'll generate the invite for you and everything you need to get into Discord. Because later we will be taking calls on Discord in later weeks. Tonight we'll still try Skype, but with the new setup over here and everything, it's going to be so much easier when we go to Discord. So I'm looking forward to that part.
But for now, we do have some more news stories for you guys before we get to one of the last Skype segments. A story on Fortnite, right, Loki? Sort of?
Yeah, so this is in regards to Epic Games not receiving a very good score through the Better Business Bureau. And this is in regards to unanswered. They have 247 unanswered customer complaints. I know one part problem with Epic Games, especially the Epic Games Store, is they don't really have a centralized forum or community pages for any of their games. And I know we had a story a few weeks ago when they were talking about the whole Epic Games Store that people were having issues with games. They were going to the Steam forums to talk about stuff because there wasn't anything kind of built into.
It's almost as if this game this company made got bigger than any of them could have ever anticipated.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily. I mean, yeah, there's that too. But I think it's just they don't really have a way to take complaints. Or to take,
they need
you know,
they need a complaint department.
So, yeah. So, apparently, it says many of the complaints center around unauthorized credit card charges or account hacking. Yeah. Unauthorized charges. My child. So, you know, apparently, they Epic, you know, said that they're aware of instances where users' accounts have been compromised and they're working using well-known hacking techniques. Says they're working to resolve these issues directly. I don't know. But then again, you get to the whole Better Business Bureau part of that, and it's a scam anyway. So, you know, it is what it is.
So why?
They will try to do better.
Do you think Epic's actually going to take this seriously and try to fix this?
I think they'll try to do better, but it's a better.
You know the Better Business Bureau isn't like an actual like government thing anyway.
No.
For
it's
one,
not.
It's still
it's like Yelp.
For one, it's still open. You're right. That's actually exactly what it's old school Yelp. Is
because
what a Better Business
and that's the thing too is I think they have like I've heard stories where people will they'll say, you know, contact the business and say, hey, you want to get a better rating? You know, pay us some money and we'll make sure they get a D instead of an F.
They're gonna try to raise that grade to a D+.
Yep.
All right. Moving on, let's talk about Final Fantasy and a new digital card trading game. This was first kind of suspected, when some Japanese trademarks went in, because Square Enix earlier in the week trademarked a Final Fantasy digital card game in Japan. And, you know, Final Fantasy actually does have a trading card game. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I've always been very curious if this is any good. Do any of our listeners play it? I'd be so curious if the Final Fantasy trading card game is worth my time, because it looks interesting. I know they sell, like, booster decks with different a Final Fantasy 13 deck, a 7 deck, you know, and all that type of stuff. So I'm super curious about it. So anyway, Bandai Namco actually filed a series of trademarks for Japan. They do a lot of stuff with Square Enix in Japan. Anyway, long story short, then they announced the actual game for PC and smartphones. So Square Enix did announce this, but get this, it's going to be on the Yahoo Japan, because Yahoo's still a big thing in Japan, whereas here it's kind of, I don't think as many people use it as in the early days of the internet, but Yahoo Japan Game Plus platform in 2019 is when this will be coming out, but it's on Yahoo Japan. So that means as far as like an America version coming out, I wouldn't hold my breath. I don't know. We'll see. You never know. Could be the smartphone versions, I guess, could make their way over here. There will be a beta test that I think starts next week, January 18th through the 25th, but this is in Japan. Only 10,000 users will be accepted, and it is going to be a card-based turn battle game, but it doesn't necessarily look like it is the same game that is like the tabletop trading card game. Looking at the pictures, this looks very different to me. It doesn't look like the same game. But anyway, you will be able to develop characters and beat your rivals and make an original deck. There's a website. You can read all about it. jp.squareenix.com/FFDCG for Final Fantasy Digital Card Game. So cool. Anyway, looking at chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, Bonds006 says, I use Yahoo every day and AOL and Outlook. Hey, some habits are hard to break. I just don't know if Yahoo is like the forefront of people's internet surfing like it used to be back in the day. Wandering Apparatus apparently has played it, saying, it's a pretty fun game, not as complicated as Magic the Gathering, so no killing your friends and looking up rulings every game. There you go. SSJ100 Matt throwing it back to the worst people write in the comments section on Yahoo News articles. Rule is never read the comments. Do you remember when OLR was a network on Live 365? This would be before VOG,
yes.
Before All Games. This is when Orange Lounge Radio was a network on Live 365, okay? I had a show Like I did a, I don't, was it Vanilla Sky? Was that what I called it at the time? I don't remember.
There was one of those.
Then there was the Outside the Box, some other, I had some, just like little pet project shows, right? Because I've done spinoff shows once in a while. Anyway, there was a segment we did on one of those shows that was always guess the lie when it comes to Yahoo comments. I don't remember what we called it. But it was basically like we would read three legitimate Yahoo comments and then one that we made up. And it was hard to tell which one was fake because there's so much crazy shit on Yahoo comment news articles. So anyway, hopefully in Japan they treat each other a little more with respect. And that'll be true with the trading card game as well. So anyway, all right. Let's see. Bobby Blackwell says, Rob, doing other projects? This is completely unexpected news. I know. Black Mamba says, wife says, no, DT, you have too many cards. In regards to Dark Tetsuya saying, I wanted to get into the trading card games there. Miltonius Games, I'm so sorry if I'm butchering your name, says, I miss Horde House. I miss it too, especially now that I play WoW again. But you will be, I still talk to everybody from the Horde House days. A really quick, where are they now? Grandpa still does Starboard Power Coupling, so if you're not listening to that podcast, you should. He just got back from the Star Trek cruise and convinced me to go next year. So I'm going on a Star Trek cruise next year, thanks to Grandpa from the Horde House days. Extifer ended up moving. He lives in North Carolina now, so he lives on the East Coast. But he is going to Dragon Con with me this year. So not only am I going to Dragon Con, and Bobby Blackwolf, and who knows else, Extifer is making his Dragon Con debut this year, so look forward to that in 2019. And then Shane, well, we mentioned that earlier in the show, he just got married, which is pretty big life development there, and is playing some WoW with me these days. So that's a little where are they now for Horde House. So there you go. Oh my God, they still do their side projects as well. Extifer does streaming. Shane isn't really podcasting right now because he's had a lot of transition stuff going on, but maybe he'll get back into it. I don't know. But they're all on Twitter. Go follow them. All right, that's enough about old podcasts that folded a while ago. Let's move on to other stories. Loki.
Yes, let's talk about the Xbox Game Pass Quests. And so this is a new thing that they're going to be adding, that basically it's different things you can do. Earning achievements earns you different points, and these reward points can be used to trade in for different things, like money. So, for example, in the month of January, they've got several different things you can do. So, for example, they have one that's called Extraction Expert. You complete two specific extraction achievements in Tom Clancy's The Division, and you get 200 points. So you have to finish it by the end of January.
So these are different from GamerScore.
Yeah, they're different from GamerScore. It's kind of like if you've used some of the Microsoft services, they have different Microsoft points you can get for using Bing or for like answering surveys and bullshit like that, and you can trade them in for like Microsoft points or Microsoft Game Store money and stuff like that. So it's similar to that, but it's basically just playing different games and getting achievements, and then you earn up credit to get different things. So one of the things that you can get, of course, is like money. So they have a $1.25 Xbox gift card, which is
$1.25.
It's a 2,100 points or 1,700 points. Yeah, so you can earn 2,100 points in January, and 1,700 points gets you a $1.25 Xbox gift card. Or if you want a free month of Xbox Game Pass, it'll cost you 7,000 points.
This is like, what the hell is that website? And this is not a paid advertisement. I'm not endorsing this site because I don't even know if it's still around. What is that site that Amazon runs? And you do these dumb little tasks like fill out surveys and and you get like 5 cents on Amazon.
The Turing Project?
Somebody in chat will know what I'm talking about. But it's a website. And like if you were to do that website full time, you would be making less than minimum wage. Basically, and you get little Amazon gift cards for like 10 cents. It's like that. Thank you. Mechanical Turk.
Turking, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, chat.
Mechanical Turk,
chat,
yeah.
To the rescue. Woo! So there you go. I don't know why, but I'm reminded of that, but with like video games.
But it's neat, though. It's just like maybe, and it's all stuff that's on Game Pass. So all these are Game Pass titles. I think it's fine because you know what? It's not like it's costing you any additional money if you already have Game Pass, and all it is encouraging you to play different games. And I think that's fine, and you can do it, and you get free money.
Rama says what I said about the minimum wage is not true. Granted, it was from something I read a couple years ago, When I think I made my first dollar on that website and probably my only dollar I made on that website. Things may have changed, to be fair. So sorry if I misspoke. I guess if you're bored and you're just sitting there with, you're watching television, why not do a little task and make some money while you watch Bird Box or whatever on Netflix right now? So,
yeah. So this is something that they're going to be switching out these different quests every month. So, hey, that's cool. I mean, it's something to, I don't know if I'd necessarily try to get all of these, but it's neat that they have it available.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost you anything more than Game Pass. So I'll tell you what, it's better than doing nothing. At least it's an attempt to do something kind of cool.
Better than nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of nothing, that's how many Super Nintendo games we currently have playable on the Nintendo Switch. But who knows? There's some indications that things may be changing because good old data mining. So the latest version of the Switch Online NES app was data mined, and apparently 22 different Super Nintendo games are mentioned. Now, not that this should mean anything. After all, the PlayStation Classic was data mined, and they found all these games that didn't really end up on the PlayStation Classic. So this could be testing. This could be just a load of crap. It could be anything. But anyway, I'll read this list real quick, because if nothing else, it's a great trip down memory lane of Super Nintendo stuff. Super Mario Kart, Super Soccer, Zelda Link to the Past, Demon's Crest, Yoshi's Island, Stunt Race FX, Kirby's Dream Course, Poppin' Twinbee, Star Fox, Contra 3, Kirby Superstar, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Kirby Dream Land 3, Super Metroid, Super Mario World, Pilot Wings, F-Zero, Star Fox 2, Super Punch-Out, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, Super Mario All-Stars, and Breath of Fire 2. If nothing else, that's a really solid, good mix of mainstream games we all think of when it comes to Super Nintendo, and some somewhat deep cuts like the Stunt Race
yeah. FX. I don't remember that game playing very well. And it sounds to me, though, with the whole Star Fox 2 and stuff, it sounds like these are just the same titles that were in the SNES Classic.
They're not, though, because the SNES Classic had 24 games in it. And,
but there's different regions.
And I don't believe it had Stunt Race, and it didn't have Breath of Fire 2, I'm pretty sure.
It didn't have a Stunt Race, but
You're right. There is a lot of crossover, for sure. But with the classic NES and the Switch Online NES library, there's a lot of overlap as well, but not 100%.
Surprised they're putting Star Fox 2 in there.
I mean, yeah. So, be interesting. Be very interesting.
It would definitely be nice to get some additional games on top of just the two a month. I honestly don't play really anything in that collection. I know Blaster Master just got added this month, and I was like,
not yet. It's next week, actually.
Oh, next
they
week.
They just announced it for this month.
I'm just like, I don't know.
Bobby Blackwell says they are discontinuing the SNES Classic, so maybe this is why Star Fox 2 will live on.
That is true.
Online. Yeah. That would make sense. ActDef says, is this rumored edition really worth paying for the service, considering the Switch Online service still has a lot to be done? Remember, Switch Online is online play. If you want to play Splatoon, Smash, Mario Kart, you got to pay for the service anyway. So you're already paying for it. If you're playing these games online, you're paying for it anyway, so you might as well get these free NES games, Nesflix, as we call it. So if they do Snesflix, then cool. I just hope they don't try to charge much more money for it.
I really wish, though, they would have just did this with the SNES Classic. Just have, a virtual console system that you can download that stuff to. I don't know.
Or just enhance it yourself. That's a lot of people.
Sure, you can just do it for free. You know,
come on, Loki.
I've already done it.
Not that that should be endorsed, but the reality is that's what a lot of people are going to do. If, the general populace doesn't care if you can't get the Guardian Legend for the NES Classic because of licensing issues or licensing problems, and stuff. Here's a better example. Super Star Wars on the SNES, right? A lot of people love and remember that game. They're not going to, if they want to play that game, they're going to hack their thing and put it on there. But you know what? They would probably take the much easier step of pressing a button and paying 500 woohoo Nintendo bucks.
Woohoo Nintendo bucks.
To get that on their console for free. And to be fair, Super Star Wars, I do believe they sold as a separate thing on PlayStation as part of like a collection there anyway. But, you know, my point is still is that when it's easy to press a button and pay money for it, people will usually do that as opposed to piracy. Look at iTunes and Spotify and the impact that it had on the underground Napster, LimeWire, and all this. Not to say it got rid of piracy. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But it sure put a lot of legitimate stuff out there too.
Because a lot of people like me, for example, will pick up stuff on a deal like as an impulse buy, and then you end up with a library of like 400 games in your PlayStation account and 700 on your Steam account that you don't end up playing, but you paid money for and that person got paid. So it's just I don't understand why they don't do that. I mean, it's
so Bobby's bringing up the counterpoint. We hated the Virtual Console when it came out because they made us pay $5 per ROM. We all wanted Netflix. Now we have Netflix, and we want to go back to paying $5 per ROM. Here's the thing, though. Netflix is putting out new shit every week. And look, I understand because of rights issues and everything, there's only so many ROMs that Nintendo can put out and all that, but it's moving too fucking slow. That's a big part of the problem, I think, for me, is that 30 games is not that impressive of a library. 100 games, that's an impressive library. And there's thousands of people. You can't tell me Nintendo can't get the licenses for 100 games. Because there
and it's a lot of their first-party titles. I mean, I don't see how you can't put your own titles onto the console. I mean,
I also don't hate the Netflix thing like other people do. Like, I'm just kind of like, I'm happy it's there. I'm glad they're doing something. I do wish there was more to it, but you know, we'll see where it's at in another year or so. I'm just glad it exists. And if they're going to do these Super Nintendo games, that's even better. That's going to practically double the size. Not really, but double the size almost of the library. And that's a huge step forward and really starts to make it feel more like a Netflix type of thing as opposed to a very limited type of box.
Right, because there's more, I think, Super Nintendo games I play versus like Nintendo games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And some folks in chat are saying, I like it. SJ100 Matt, The Wandering Apparatus, I like it. I like it. So,
or Nintendo 64. Let's put Nintendo 64 games on there, too.
I also kind of like, it's just a very little thing, but I think it's kind of neat that they do these random, like, official save states that they put out where it's like, explore the last Gradius level, or here's Zelda with all the rubies
already.
I just
wish there was Game Genie support in all these games, you know?
Well, that's kind of what they're doing. It's interesting, especially from like a setting up a speed run of a game type of perspective. It's interesting how these little save states kind of change things a little bit. But anyway.
They should do that, like have speed running games. I don't know.
I'm sure it's if you can imagine it, it's being done somewhere on the internet. Anyway, a few more stories for you guys before we get to the Skype line. So at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. At least we're going to try. I'm going to hope it's going to work tonight. We'll do our best. In the meantime, though, Loki has another story for us.
In this episode of Battle Royale, all the things, Battle Royale is a new mod that's come to Stardew Valley, and it allows 100 players to duke it out in Stardew Valley, so you can do all sorts of fun stuff in there. I think it even has up to 100 farmers will battle it out, and apparently you have to have, of course, the mod running along with Smappy, which is the API that they have for Stardew Valley, and also there's, I guess, an online server browser that you can find different servers to play against, but that's pretty funny that you can play the game. I don't know, like, if they have, like, guns or stuff, but, like, I see, like, there's horses and building. So it's got all the things. But neat. I would definitely check this out.
Are you a fan of Battle Royale coming to everything, Loki?
I think it's funny sometimes, yes. Especially things that don't really need it to come to it. Mm. But it's funny.
The Wandering Apparatus suggests Broccoli Royale mode. Miltinius Games says, but does it have romance? The people need to know. Can you romance all those 99 people?
That would be a lot of work.
That would be a lot of work, but, you know, some people might be into that. I don't know. All right. Let's get to one more story for you guys, and it has to do with a pretty cool little tribute coming to World of Warcraft. It's a Stan Lee tribute, because, of course, we all know Stan Lee of Marvel Comics passed away in November, and World of Warcraft does these pretty cool little tributes sometimes. They've done it for some of their fans and longtime players. I know they've done it for, you know, people like big celebrities and stuff, too, like Stan Lee. A recent public test server patch went live, 8.1.5, so it's not in the live game yet, but it's on the public test round. realm. And apparently there is a new character around Stormwind Keep whose name is Stanley. And if you actually look at him, he's not Stan Lee, but Stanley. But if you actually look at him, it's very much like you look at he's got a very unique model with the glasses and the stash. We all know damn well what he is. Of course, he also will greet you by shouting Excelsior, as if the rest of that wasn't a giveaway. But I love that. I love those like tributes and MMOs and things like that. You know, heaven forbid, if anything ever were to happen to me, I would be tickled pink if I was remembered with an MMO type of tribute. I would want to be a slutty Lala in Final Fantasy 14 named Robbing Roberts. And I would steal a gill every time you walk by. No, I don't know. But, you know, it would be or I never shut up. I just keep talking. Talk. That would be fun. How would you be immortalized in an MMO, Loki? This is dark, but, you know.
How would I be immortalized?
How would you be immortalized in an MMO?
Oh, they just wouldn't release the MMO like my game.
It'd just be a piece of missing texture. Coming soon, Loki. All right. Coming up right now, we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, and we're getting ready to take your calls here. Bobby Blackwell says he'd rant about everything. That might be the thing you do. I don't know. Anyway, Orange Lounge Radio, again, all one word on Skype. We are eagerly awaiting your calls. Meanwhile, while we wait to see if anything comes in, do we have any last-minute stories we want to cover, Loki? I know we had to cut a few things in the show world tonight.
Yeah, there was. I was going to say we didn't talk about the light gun thing that they have. So there's a new technology now, apparently, to be able to do light gun games on like LCD type panels and stuff. And so it's a new thing that they're going to be releasing to support, I want to say, I think it was NES games, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I'm kind of curious to see how that works, but I'm down for more light games.
All right. I think we have a call on the line, so hopefully you're there. Hi, caller. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Okay, we don't hear you, and I think that's a fault on my end. Sorry about that. So let me just play with the controls over here, and give me a moment, caller, and we'll try to get you on the line here ASAP, which is probably the fault of this thing one way or another. Try again. Caller, are you there?
Hey, this is Metal Mayhem. I used to go by Regenerator.
Well, welcome to your final form, Metal Mayhem.
Anyway, you were talking about the arcade cabinets sold by various stores during your rapid fire segment. So,
sure, like the Golden Tee and that stuff.
Yeah. Now, I would imagine. I would imagine they're not exactly like the machines sold that you can see in arcades. But with that being said, now assuming that you had the budget for it and you can find ones that are worth.
Uh-oh, he froze up. Regenerator, if you can still hear me, go ahead and finish your question. His video froze too. Do we have you back, Regenerator? Can you finish that question again? Shit, did we lose him? Oh, I like hear little bits and pieces coming through, and it's not on our end because we're still broadcasting. See how
poor
he's frozen?
Poor network connection.
Poor network connection. Oh, wait, he's moving again. Regenerator.
That was weird. All right, I think we're back now.
Okay, I don't know what the fuck happened there, but somehow that locking up on the phone sent, like, something to the mixing board that, like, completely knocked it out. Completely.
Skype is trying to attack our
that
mixing
was
board.
Crazy. Anyway,
Skype.
I'm sorry, Metal Mayhem. I don't know what the heck that was about. That was crazy. That's something I'll have to fix in post. Sorry about that. That did you see that? Like the light. The only way I knew is because the light on the mixing board like suddenly went out.
Huh?
How does that even work? And so I just unplugged it and plugged it back in. Isn't that weird?
Weird.
Anyway, whew. Yeah, we'll be moving to Discord real soon. Demons. So I think the question he was trying to ask was if we were to switch or if we were to build one of these arcade machines, budget's not an issue and so forth, what would the arcade machine that you would sell look like?
The one I would sell, I would do, I would do like some of the mid. Well, I don't know if it's all Midway stuff, but like let's do Gauntlet Legends, and we'll do some of the Ninja Turtle arcade games, and we'll just do all Konami stuff. We'll do the Simpsons arcade game.
That's a really good one. I love that idea. I would go like Ninja Turtles and Simpsons arcade game, like the old like Konami hardware from there. I would definitely go with that. But you know, I'm a big fan of Burger Time as well. I think that might actually be a thing that's out there as well, though.
That's one of the ones that's coming up.
Is it really? I want that one.
That's the Karate Champ one.
I might have to get that one for sure. So,
Demons, just Gremlins and Demons. Don't know what's going on. Shorts.
I seriously think something might have shorted in that mixing board, and that's leading to the buzz that we have now. This is crazy. I don't know what the heck is going on. That's crazy. Anyway, wow. I'm at a loss for words for the first time in forever. So crazy. All right. Is the buzz still there? I unplugged the phone. I completely unplugged that connection. Completely. Wow. If it's not one thing, this is the brand new mixing board, you guys. It's the brand new one. So, yeah, and they still hear the buzzing in the background. And I'm really worried.
See a little bit.
Yeah, you can see it. And it's slowly getting louder and louder. Oh, my God. This is awful. How did a short kill the soundboard that fast?
I don't think a short did kill the soundboard.
What do you think's wrong, Logie?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it is it a grounded? It's not grounded, is it? Like, they don't have a grounded. Like, I used to get, like.
You can see it flicker. Wait, let me try. I'm going to try a different plug. Hold on, guys.
Okay. Because you can. I used to have the problem on my old USB stuff.
Yeah, I still hear it very faintly. I don't know how the hell this thing shorted when we've only been like four episodes in.
It's probably under warranty.
So frustrating. Wow. All right. Yeah, and I plugged it into another thing. Some folks thinking the power outage could have shorted it. I don't know. But that is crazy. We have to wrap up before the bus comes back. God, if it's not one thing, it's another. At least we got a full 2+ hours in tonight.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. All right. Because you see it start to flicker over there, and then it goes out. But why now?
I don't know.
Why did we go like 2.5 hours of show, and then all of a sudden that comes in?
It didn't like Skype.
I don't get it. All right. Real quick, let's wrap up the show and get everybody's final thoughts. Loki, your final thoughts tonight.
My final thought is vacation.
My final thought is thanks for being here and putting up with all this weird stuff going on. I don't even know what to think. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show and downloading. Tell a friend or two. We'll work on the soundboard for next week. It's all we can do. Good night, everybody. Thanks.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.